Radio's dirty little secret. And it's all legal.
Down, baby.
Who the hell is this?
Alan, you have been described by your enemies as evil, insane, manipulative.
Who are you?
To examine it would be to, like, demystify it.
You're gonna pick it with a tasty group, okay?
Wow.
It
definitely makes me cringe.
Very, very, very painful.
One, two, three, pick it. Pick it. Come on. God damn it. Could you one time pick it? What the f***?
You're disgusting.
The Alan Cox Show on 100.7.
You ignorant trick bastard.
WMMS.
Cleveland.
Everybody, good afternoon. Greetings. Hi there. Welcome, welcome. My name is Alan Cox. Thank you for showing up. Say hi to Bill Squires right over there.
Hey, creepy hugs, everyone. Thanks for listening to and watching this episode of the Alan Cox Show titled The Temple of Mood.
Yeah, right? Ooh, it's backwards.
Yeah.
Ah.
And involves temple because tomorrow is Sonic Temple.
Sonic Temple. Tomorrow. Right.
Pumped.
Can't wait. A tan and lean Mary Santora is right over here.
Hi, guys. No
you look
babies.
Like you just stepped off the beaches of Kauai. Did you go tanning again, or is it just
I went tanning
in?
Today.
You did, too.
Yes, yeah. And I was telling Bill I had to rush around, and I had a phone interview that lasted longer than it was supposed to, and then I had to, come here really quick, so I have no makeup or anything, but I apologize. I feel good, but...
Mary's going to be on NPR on Monday.
I am.
Are you really?
90.3. Yeah, Mike McIntyre. We're going to be doing a thing about commencement and advice to people graduating.
So you didn't interview a phone.
No, I did confused. Not interview a phone. No,
all
no,
right.
No. This was
how'd you get started?
Right. This is a pre-interview, and then we're going to be on air Monday from 9 to 10.
And he came to you for graduation advice.
Well, he tweeted out.
Did
he
you
was
tell
like,
him that you?
I told him I dropped
out of pharmacy
yeah.
school.
Well, he tweeted out "Hey, if you could give any advice to our graduating class in one sentence," and I tweeted back, and it got a lot of response. And then he hit me up. I was like, "Hey, do you want to come on the show? We're gonna kind of go over some commencement stuff and advice to people graduating." And I said, "Yeah, that'd be fun." So we're gonna do that Monday from 9 to 10. If you want to listen in, on 90.3.
Pound Cake is back there behind the glass.
Afternoon, white people.
Poundcake, you're a college graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a sentence of advice for the class of 2019?
A sentence.
A sentence. That's what was required of Mary in this whole thing.
Hmm.
What an ad-libber.
I'm trying to think. I don't know. I don't know how I could put my entire college experience into one sentence.
It's a piece of advice.
A piece of advice would just be...
Based on what you've said, I feel like you could easily put your entire college experience into one sentence.
Barely. I could barely spell a sentence getting out of college.
There you go! I could barely spell a sentence getting out of college.
There you go.
That's your one sentence.
Go Zips.
Go Zips.
S-I-P-S. Go Zips. Condenses your experience. What was your sentence that you gave him?
I don't remember. It was long. I was trying to get away.
A long run-on sentence?
Not a run-on. Oh. I had proper punctuation. It was basically about not if you're upset or you're sad, these things, you should feel them, but they're not going to matter in a couple years. So basically feel, if you're really angry, it's cool to feel angry now, but don't let it ruin your life, basically. Move on.
I would say excuses will always be there, opportunities won't. That's what I would say.
Ooh.
Oh, here's what I said. Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good one. Excuses will always be there. Did you make that up?
Yeah.
Just did
now?
You?
Yeah.
Did you see that somewhere?
Did I? We're not going to hear some Miley Cyrus interview in
no.
2 weeks. And...
No, I've said it before. I said
it's a great quote.
That's great.
I said it to my students when I was DJ director, and I told them, I'm like, look, you have a limited time to make something of yourself. College won't always be there. Excuses will always be there, but this opportunity right now won't.
That's great.
So
very I good. Mine yes, now. This was better than
mine. Off.
I know.
Get out of here.
Yeah, you did it.
I feel like a graduate.
I really had to think about it. I'm like,
All right. Well, there you go. Excuses will always be there. Opportunities won't.
Yeah. Mine was...
You want to tell McIntyre to cancel your segment and bring pound cake
I know, on? Right? I said, whatever's got you so mad you're shaking, so never she could throw up, so sad you can't get out of bed. It won't matter in 5 years. So take time to feel those feelings, but move on with your life.
Yeah, a run-on sentence.
Is that a run-on? There's commas.
That's a big, long... It doesn't mean there's no punctuation. A run-on sentence. He's like, yeah,
couple examples.
He's trying to... It's something
hey, you know what?
Here,
it
man.
Worked
I
mean, enough to get me on the show.
I guess so.
If you quote me, you can use that line.
I will, for sure.
Yeah. Did you have a lot of kids giving you excuses, Poundcake? Makes excuses for things?
They hated me.
Other than the Trump family. Who makes excuses for things?
Well, my students hated me. Because
why?
Because I was younger than them and I was in a higher position than they were. A lot of them were seniors and they were getting ready to graduate and they didn't turn in their, you know, I would have them make a demo and I would have them, you know, write and do a commercial and they wouldn't
Isn't
do
that
it.
What they were there for?
Wait, is there a second verse to the song?
Pomp and Circumstance? Yeah, it's a big long song.
I didn't know
it's
that. Full song. I just know the very beginning part.
Yeah, it's longer than my sentence.
Is it?
So just because you were younger than they were, they didn't want to do the work?
Yeah, and they would make excuses like, oh, well, I was up late doing a final, or I was up late, I didn't read. I'm like,
so
okay.
They were real go-getters.
Well, they sell Lancome and Macy's now. But
then, I mean, well, that's a good brand. I was up late last night. Good excuse.
Yeah, all they had to do was come into the studio. I'm like, you're cheating yourself, bro. Like, you're not hurting my feelings. You're not hurting me. They didn't respect me, so they're like, who are you to critique my demo? I'm like, nobody.
Just pound kick the phone screener from the Alan Cox Show.
But you weren't then, were you?
My senior year, I think I did both.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, then maybe it was a bit of professional jealousy on their part.
Maybe, but...
They weren't working in the business.
Jealousy's going to get you nowhere.
Yeah, I don't understand people that get into a certain track and then don't want to do any work. Yeah. I don't understand that.
And on the other hand, I had people...
These were people who wanted to be in broadcasting, but didn't want to do any work? Didn't want to have their real critique?
They didn't want it from me. They didn't think that I knew what I was doing, or they didn't trust me. And I was like, fine.
Oh, well, they were probably right, but you were still in a position of authority.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're not hurting me. Okay, I'll critique it. I'll tell you what I think. You should still try.
And what would you tell people who acquiesced to you critiquing them?
Excuses will be their opportunities won't.
Well, no, that's something you knit into a pillow. What would you tell somebody? Like, what's a bit of constructive criticism that you would give someone?
I would tell them that they would have this 5-minute, 7-minute long demo. I'm like, your demo should be like 2 minutes at max.
Would you tell them to, like, slow down when they spoke?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you tell them to modulate their volume when they're on the microphone?
Absolutely.
You know what they say, Bill? Those who can't do, teach. Here's another one. All right, good. Take that one to the bank. Okay. Man, I wish that I could have been a fly on the wall for Pound Cake, the instructor. I would have loved that.
I already record my seminars that I've done.
What's that?
I've already recorded some of the
seminars.
I did have a seminar. Like, I came back
Bring
and spoke.
Bring it in. Why
no,
are you
he
sitting
talked
up?
At a school. It was a seminar.
Well, call it what you want, but give me the audio.
I've got a seminar talking at a school? Yeah, what's the difference? He probably didn't have a PowerPoint, but whatever.
Yeah, I just don't feel like this is a seminar.
I'll give you the seminar. How long did you speak
As I
for?
Understand it, a seminar is just a speech that's given in an academic institution.
All right, fine, it's a
for
seminar.
For an extended period of time, all right. More than 10 minutes.
Seminar pound cake.
Yeah, it was.
He thought he was signing for a seminar. He walked in, and he just had the faces of students. He's like, I have seriously underdressed and overprepared for this. All right, well, bring in the audio of your seminars. We played something when you talked to, like, a gymnasium a couple years ago, didn't we?
It was a lecture hall. I went back and spoke to my high school, and then we already played it on the air.
Yeah. Oh, that's the same one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, there was twice. My high school and then my college.
Bring me the other one.
We did. We played both of them on the show.
We played both of
it
them on the
show? It was years
that
ago.
That can't be right.
Yes.
But it's been a lot of time.
When I spoke back at the JVS, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Lorain County JVS and then Akron.
All right.
That's where I got the picture right
but
there.
But when you were, I assume that when you were an instructor, you were probably more like executive pound cake, right?
Yeah.
You were like, fix your tape, bitch!
Well, sometimes. Some people that knew me.
That's probably why they didn't,
But whatever. If I can help them, then who cares?
And did you? Do you feel like you did some? I did.
Two of the students that I taught now work at professional like broadcasting studios. Like, yeah, they did well.
Okay.
The people that I helped and I gave letter recommendations to, like, yeah.
Well, for a merry sentence, a lot of people are texting me, good line, nice commas.
So, I love it.
Run on or not.
The Alan Cox Show.
Sure, you could listen to another show, but then how would you find the puppies we've buried in boxes around the city? 100.7 WMMS.
Black Label Society, they're going to be playing
tomorrow.
Sonic Temple tomorrow.
I'll see them.
So bummed I'm going to miss them, and I have to keep reminding myself that today is Thursday. I have Friday on the brain. It's a short show today, and I keep thinking that it's Friday today, but it is, in fact, Thursday.
I'm definitely feeling that today.
You're all giddy about over there.
Because I'm really excited about Sonic Temple.
I can see it in your face.
I'm very excited. It's going to be a very good show.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I like some things.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff happening. 16 hours and 36 minutes until it starts, Billy.
Oh.
Sunday night, your own Bill Squire is going to be on the comedy and spoken word tent, starting that lineup on Sunday night. When is that? 6 o'clock you go on?
Around, around there? 6:20-ish, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a schedule that they have.
So wait, you're going down there? I'm confused.
I'm going down tomorrow just to watch the show.
Okay.
And then Saturday, I got to go to Michigan to do a show.
I gave you that show.
You gave me, which
is
I appreciate.
A very nice show to have.
I know, and I appreciate it a lot. Maybe someday I'll give you a show or something.
I gave you that show.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. It's,
oh,
it's
you
a very
too.
Well-paying
you
show.
You two crack me up.
What is funny about that is she gave me that show because she was supposed to be featuring at Hilarities.
Yeah, I would have taken that show because I made more money at that one show than I'm making the entire weekend now.
Why didn't you take that show?
Because I was supposed to be featuring the week at Hilarities and I got bumped
this
down
week.
To host. Yes.
Yeah. Who's featuring?
Ramon.
Why?
He is coming with Steve? Question mark.
Oh, Ranazzisi brought Ramon.
That's what I was told. Yeah.
Well, when Steve is in here in an hour or so,
you should say,
I'll ask him.
Yeah. Do not do that.
Why is Ramon Rivas Midland when it's supposed to be Mary Santoro over here?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is
why don't you look this girl in the eyes and tell
don't
her why?
Do that. I think I
that pot-addled cholo is in the middle of this whole show. I love Ramon, but
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, no, yeah. So it was one of those things that I was like, oh, should I? Because it's a well-paying gig enough that I was going to reschedule my whole week at Hilarities. And then I didn't, and now I kind of got screwed. So, on money at least. It'll
it
be
happens,
nice to be there, and I like working with Steve and stuff. So
still, you don't want money taken out of your hand.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lots of it.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bill, your
it's
thoughts.
In my hand.
It's in Bill's hand.
It's in,
yeah.
It's in good hands.
It
it'll
is
be in my hands.
Hand,
so that's
it's
good.
In
you know
capable hands.
If history has taught us anything, at some point that money will end up in my hands. Via a hotel or whatever it might be.
But then sure. It goes back. It's like when a I'm, fund between the two of us.
Can, I mean, we just keep.
You do pay me back when I loan you money. For the most part, I feel
I have
like,
never not paid you back.
I'm trying to think. Like, but I think I've just gifted you money too, though.
Yeah. Maybe.
But it was without, like.
We just Venmo each other the same $50.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's funny.
By the way, Poundcake, you should absolutely trademark your phrase.
Yes.
Because it is all over the internet, and I hate for you to not get paid for that.
Okay.
You should look into it.
All over the internet, such as what?
Who such as when I type in the first two words, it autofills the rest of your quote.
Okay.
So you should be getting paid for that. As the creator of that quote.
What was the quote again?
What was the quote again?
Opportunities will always be there. Excuses,
nope.
Excuses will always be there. Opportunities won't.
That's right.
Okay, well.
Get paid, sucka.
Okay, but who said
you
it?
You feel
though?
Me? Huh?
Who said it?
I don't know. You did. That's what you said.
I know, but I'm saying if someone else said it because it's already auto-filling on Google or whatever, then it had to be quoted by someone.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll leave that up to you. You got to go chasing that paper now.
How much does it cost to trademark something?
Millions.
I don't know. It's actually not kidding. That it's expensive, nice. I don't think. I mean, the frequency with which Gene Simmons tries to trademark phrases in the English language, it can't be that expensive. I know he's a wealthy man, but I can't imagine throwing all of your largesse towards that. How about the only thing that stays the same is change? Mm-hmm. Or, plus la change, plus la même chose, is how we learned it in French 1. the more things change,
the more they stay the same.
Alan, any chance I'll see any of you guys tonight at Carrot Top?
No.
No.
Carrot Top? Where's he?
He's MGM? Out at the Roxino, or what it's called
MGM.
Now. The Northfield, the MGM Northfield. The Northfield yes. MGM.
There it is. You're getting there.
Hey, Indians tonight. I did mention short show for us because it's a 6:10 start as your first pitch. The Indians start up the homestand against the Baltimore Orioles tonight. So we'll get out of here around 5:30, and then your pregame coverage will start minutes after that. I don't know who plays for the Orioles these days, but I imagine it is someone, as they are a baseball team.
Yes, they do have a full roster.
And they need players. Mark Trumbo. Dylan Bundy. I'm trying to find somebody I've heard of. Anywho, they've got a team, and they are in town tonight to play your Cleveland Indians. They have determined that British people get drunk more often than just about any other nationality. So, step up, Irish.
I was going
to
say,
you're trying to fill in those stereotypes.
So, as an English, I'm very much from like the English descent.
Very white.
Yeah. And everyone's always like, oh, I'm Irish, I drink. It's actually English that do it more.
Huh. If now, that's you what you want to hang your hat on, I mean, you should.
Irish people are always bragging about it.
Of course.
Like, oh, I can drink a lot. I'm Irish.
Yeah.
You're an alcoholic. That's the difference.
British people, they say that drink much more often and regard getting drunk as the point of a night out rather than just enhancing the evening. So they want to drink to get drunk.
Because it's so boring.
Now I want to go back to my homeland.
It's so boring there, and the food is terrible. So you just got to get wasted, and then it all tastes good.
I think that's what it is. You just, you're like, bangers and mash. What?
They're not supposed to boil pizza. Bangers and mash.
Huh?
I like bangers and mash.
Because you're British, Bill.
I know.
That's
but
why.
They're good.
You're aggressively white.
I am aggressively white.
Listen, you do realize you can get drunk in this country, too, right? You don't have to go over there. You don't have to be with your people.
But what do I drink? What do you drink if you are British?
In Britain. When you're in British.
And when you're British in Britain, what do you drink to get drunk?
Ale?
A pint.
I think
that you should represent your people here.
Okay.
On this side of the pond.
I will start tomorrow at Sonic Temple.
There you go. People who responded to this survey in England said that we have never really grasped moderation. It's not part of our culture or conversation. Okay. So that's what you do.
So Englishmen are drunks.
Yeah. But we also stole the Star Spangled Banner from them. So maybe that had something to do with it.
They still haven't gotten over it?
I guess not. There was something written in the late 1700s for some British society. And the melody for the Star Spangled Banner was stolen from this British drinking song. So maybe they're all butthurt about it. I don't know.
Is it, oh, say, can you drink? Till the dawn's early light.
I don't. That's good. The melody's the same. I don't think the lyrics were. Mm. But, you know.
To an Acheon in heaven, where he sat in full glee, a few sons of harmony sent a petition.
Listen, we can't all know every facet of history, but it is amazing to find out just how many things are not original at all. Like things that have passed down, whether it's books or music or whatever, that everything comes from somewhere, and that the premium on original ideas is not nearly as high as it should be. Now, in 2019, there's nothing original left. I mean, there's only so many chords you can play on a guitar, you know, but, I mean, everything has been thought of or mused about or whatever. So, it's no one's fault, but in, you know, 1780, I don't even know if this guy wrote this song.
Listening to that guy sing that song reminded me of Borat. he's at the bull riding thing in Texas, and he sings their national anthem to a Star Spangled Banner. It's
like the Kazakhstan national anthem.
That's what it is. Yeah, I couldn't remember the name of the country.
Yeah, Kazakhstan.
You also couldn't remember rodeo. So
rodeo, the bull riding thing.
The bull riding.
I'm still party. Coming out of this head cold. So.
Yeah, the horsey circus.
Yeah.
Bull circus. Now this sounds like a guy who's drunk singing it, but still good.
What so proudly we hail
right, hippie crap. So anyway, if you are English, congratulations and have a pint for me.
British Allen's probably doing just that right now.
Oh, sure.
Because
yeah.
Yeah, it's an appropriate time to have a drink over there.
Of course. 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Allen, remember that America the Beautiful is the same as God Save the Queen. The Sex Pistols song?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Really?
Doesn't sound the same.
Huh. Doesn't sound anything like it. That's My Land, Tis of Thee, right? That's not America the Beautiful.
Yeah, America the Beautiful.
Wait, no, that's...
America the Beautiful is, oh, beautiful for spacious skies. God Save the Queen is My Land, Tis of Thee.
Ooh!
With a lot more of that thrown in. Listen, we are...
Man, I forget all those songs.
We did break away back in the day, as I understand our history to be.
My country, tis of thee.
So there's probably... What did I say?
My land.
Okay, my country, tis of thee.
That's what I was like, why can't I think of this?
Yeah.
Will Britain soon have a king when the queen dies?
Yeah.
So they'll have a king again.
They'll be one of the...
Well, Meghan Markle will be the queen.
No. She's second in line. Oh. It'll be...
George?
Kate Middleton.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Well, she's the queen, but who's she married to?
Charles.
Yeah. No. Kate Middleton is married to the other brother.
Prince Charles.
Is he
Prince
Charles?
No, it's Harry, and who's the other one?
Charles!
Harry and William.
William.
Oh, William. Yeah.
Not Prince Charles. He was married to Lady Di.
Yeah, and he abdicated the throne.
Yes.
So
for that hot piece of ass Camilla Parker Bowles.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Hi-yo.
That's so weird. So in our lifetime, we'll see a King of England again. That's weird.
I guess.
We'll see.
I mean,
you don't know that.
Maybe. I mean,
we might all die tomorrow. Yeah, we might die before the queen.
And that queen, she hanging in there.
Isn't she the longest reigning queen?
As far as I know, but I don't know.
In England, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know.
Probably, because people just didn't live that long back in the day.
Yeah.
I just hope she doesn't have a dragon.
Wow.
I have a feeling that
see her on a dragon.
If she had, if she had a dragon, wouldn't we have found out about it by now?
No, they're pretty
secretive. She hasn't needed it yet.
They don't talk about their feelings or their pets.
It's hard to hide them, though.
Not if you have a palace. She can hide it underground or something.
She does have a palace.
Yeah.
Yes. They also had people overseas take part in a survey about what Americans are obsessed with that they find humorous.
Peanut butter.
Why are Americans obsessed with spelling Mississippi? I don't know that Americans are obsessed with spelling anything.
M-I, crooked letter I.
Crooked letter I.
Humpback I.
Uh-huh.
I never heard that.
Really?
That's old-timey.
That's really old.
My dad
old,
used to say
that's how
that.
My mom taught me.
Yeah, it's old-timey.
Also, I was on Hooked on Phonics.
Hooked on Phonics.
I'm glad you were able to get off.
I know.
Hooked on Phonics.
Working for me.
Me.
I love him.
All this time, I've wondered why Americans were so obsessed with breadsticks. It turns out United States breadsticks are a totally different thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they probably just had those, like, hard, crusty breadsticks.
That come in Chex Mix?
Yeah.
Those...
No.
I like a good, warm, garlic breadstick.
Or the tiny ones that used to come wrapped in pears with sesame seeds on the outside of them. You guys too young for
that? I don't know.
Like, you get them at a steakhouse or something, or a Ponderosa.
I love Ponderosa.
Why are Americans so obsessed with making up handshakes?
That's not a thing.
That was like years ago.
That's something that people were obsessed with when they were in second grade.
Yeah, you had a secret handshake with your best friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not that long ago in the history of
20 years ago.
Yeah, but it's also like a small window. Like it wasn't...
Like zagging your pants.
I think there's still
like,
people doing handshakes.
I'm sure they are, but I don't think it's an obsession. It's like there's not a handshake Twitter.
It's mainly just black friends.
There's not Instagrams of handshakes just... my God, look at this amazing handshake.
I assume they're using the phrase obsessed loosely, but I don't know. Why are Americans obsessed with candles?
Why? Because they're wonderful.
Because new Yankee candles, is that what it's called? Yankee candle?
Yeah.
Yankee candle.
Is it not new?
It's just Yankee
just
candle.
Just Yankee candle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we like to support the Yankees.
You know, Yankee candles are bomb, so.
They're the best.
Yeah.
Woodwick, I've made my stance on, have I made my stance on this show about that? The Woodwick candles.
I wasn't aware you had a candle stance. She's like, guys, I have gone.
What's your Woodwick stance?
I have gone across all available platforms to
That's
me,
why I'm confused.
Planting my flag in Woodwick candles. Have I'm I done that you. Here or just on stage and everywhere else? I don't recall that if you've. Now, if you'd like the floor.
Yes.
You can stake your claim on Woodwick candles.
They are infinitely better than any other type of candle.
And why?
And how
is
did
that?
You arrive at this?
Because the wicks are made of wood, so they crackle.
Oh, so it's a very literal.
Yes. Yeah. They crackle like a fire, and they also have that kind of like campfire-y smell to them, just a little bit, but you can also get the scent of the candle as well. I like the way that they sound. I like to burn them in right. I like the way it sounds because I don't have a fireplace because I live underground. But
you like the crackly noise.
The crackly noise, yeah. And they smell better.
All right.
Woodwick candles for life.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to fight
Nobody's contesting
that.
Me? Okay.
Fine. I like them.
That's it.
So when people go, Mary, don't do the Wakanda forever. She's like, no, Woodwick is what
Woodwick.
It's not
Two W's.
Nothing to do with, yeah.
Two W's.
Woodwick. Okay. There may be a Woodwick candle at Casa Cox, and I don't know.
They're so great.
I'm not the primary candle purchaser, but I know the ones that we've got currently smell pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll have to check for a Woodwick.
They're like usually a cross, like an X shape.
X gonna give it to you.
Yeah.
Why are Americans obsessed with putting avocado on sushi?
We're not.
There's a lot of avocado
in
sushi.
I came with it. I thought that was a thing that...
No, wasabi it comes with, but avocado on sushi. There's a lot of that. And I'm not a huge avocado guy.
I thought it was in the wraps, usually.
Sometimes it is, but sometimes they'll put a little...
But it's something that I think happened in American sushi. I doubt it's something that's common in Japanese, like authentic Japanese sushi.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, where are avocados even from?
Mexico?
Yeah.
Haas.
Yeah.
They're from Haas.
Haas avocados.
So I imagine
from
there's not
Haas,
a lot.
Mexico?
There's probably not a lot of avocados in Japan.
Avocado sushi. And then my favorite, why are Americans so obsessed with putting ice in their drinks? Because you go overseas and everything's room temperature.
Gross. Yeah. Soda?
Everything.
Like
there's no ice. And if you get water, they pour it right out of a pitcher. No
That's
ice.
Fine.
In the, you
room
know.
Temperature water doesn't bother me so much. But like a pop, anything fizzy?
You got to ask them for ice.
Blech.
Yeah. Well, that's
Beer?
Weird. And they don't keep it in a cooler?
Huh?
They don't keep it in a cooler?
They might, but it doesn't come with ice.
All right. It's fine if it doesn't come with ice, but it better be chilled.
Yeah, I mean, it comes out of cans. I'm sure it's in a fridge, but I'm just saying, like, they don't give it to you.
But if you're getting it from the...
They're not scooping ice.
If you're getting
it
from the gun, you're probably going to have to ask for ice. Ugh. No, I need ice.
Mm.
I need McDonald's. They have the perfect Coke.
Yeah. They've literally got it down to a science.
I know. I love it.
Huh. The ice and everything? Is that why?
The Coke. It's, like, filtered through stainless steel... stuff. I don't know.
Sounds expensive.
It is.
It.
There's a whole thing on it.
No, they've done like a whole bunch of research to make it the best Coke.
Yeah, I think they're probably just that's marketing.
Not. It's true.
I don't think any companies are spending a nickel more than they have to on anything.
And McDonald's would to be known for it and to have that kind of money at your disposal.
Be known for it.
They're known for their Coke.
You just taught me, so not everybody knows.
Well,
just
now you know.
And I'm in the room.
Yeah, but
and
you
I
don't
just
eat
found
fast
out about
food.
It. Sometimes I do. I'm an American. I'm red-blooded. I'm like Alex. I'm red-blooded. Right?
I want the McDonald's Coke. I want the advanced life extension.
God, that's right. Perfect.
I want the perfect Coke from McDonald's with the right amount of ice. 1776 ounces. A bunch of weak pansies jumping around like fairies telling me how I'm their slave. No, you little piece of trash. I'm not your slave. I'm red-blooded. You fairy.
That's right. All right, listen. Alan, Woodwick candles are a superior candle.
They are
the best. Facts don't care about your feelings.
The only thing is they're like...
That was a weird postscript on that. That got kind of dark there for a candle-oriented text.
The bigger ones can cost like $25. They get expensive. They get expensive.
$25.
Yeah.
Wow.
But they're
so
big.
I don't buy them... They're like... Yeah, they're like tall.
Yeah.
I don't know how many ounces, but they're pretty... A venti candle.
It's a venti candle.
But it, like probably twice a year I'll buy myself one as like a treat. And I'll have a little Woodwick, and I only light it when I'm going to write, so I can hear it.
What scent?
Oh, it depends. I get a different one every time.
You don't have, like, a go-to?
Pink Sands is a good one that I like. It's like a beachy kind of smell.
I imagine.
Coconut-y. So, the mood that you set in your apartment when you're going to write, mm-hmm. similar to the ones that other women would set prior to masturbation.
Oh, 100%. Okay, I light a candle with wood wick so I can hear the crackling, and I put jazz guitar, like bluesy guitar, on really low, and then I write. And I'm more creative in those moments than any other time.
Okay.
Got a little...
Bluesy guitar and a woodwind candle. Mm-hmm.
But just instrumentals, no words. Just instrumentals.
Gotcha. But you don't want to be distracted by other people's words.
Correct.
You want to commit your own
to
the page, right? All right, well,
is
there you go.
Is that what you're doing when you thought of, is that tartar sauce or a yeast infection?
Horsey sauce.
Horsey sauce.
And no, I was drunk on the road in a hotel room when I thought of that one, eating Arby's. So, thank you, Bill.
Ew,
so
you were eating Arby's when you thought of that?
Yes. Why else? I eat Arby's. All right. All right.
So, guys, she had just given you the keys to the kingdom, by the way.
It's
you
need a
woodwick candle, jazzy blues guitar. I'm not sure what that is. Seems like one or the other.
Blues. And it's blues, not
blues
jazz.
Guitar, blues guitar, like a little buddy guy back there.
Sure.
And then a little of this in the background.
Yeah.
And that will get her moister than an oyster.
Leave me alone like that for like an hour and a half, and then saddle up, partner.
Flip the switch.
Here we go.
All right, good.
Wait, that gets you horned up?
No, he's making
it up. Oh, really? Is he?
I'm making this up. Yeah, yeah, it's all me. to join us, or 800-348-1007. 35192. We were just talking about the Gin Blossoms, coincidentally, like a week or so ago or something. And they're on tour with Collective Soul. They're going to play the MGM Northfield Park in June. I will have tickets for you all next week if you are a fan of either Collective Soul or the Gin Blossoms.
We also just had Matt Bronger in, and then somebody shared a clip, because I mentioned that Hey Jealousy is the white privilege song, because they're driving around, letting the cops chase them around. Matt Bronger has taken that idea to a whole other level. He's got a big old bit about it in his new special.
Beautiful.
And someone's like, oh, you stealing jokes? I'm like, no, it's an idea that I had, and he made it into a very good stand-up
bit. And you might have mentioned it while he was here, by the way.
It may have.
Maybe that sparked something.
He had already filmed a special at that point, so
Yeah, right.
I think some people get carried away with trying to accuse someone of stealing jokes when it's like, that's an idea. That song's 25 years old.
Right. Let's calm down, everyone. Yeah.
So if you're listening, douchebag, didn't steal that joke.
Right. And
I don't like being called a joke thief.
Well, not only that, but if the person who calls you out, if you were funny at all, sir or madam, you'd be on a stage telling jokes. So let's ease off the throttle a little bit. By the way, there is an Alan Cox show.
The cops catch up to us a little bit. Ease off the throttle, they can catch up, and then we'll speed off again.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then it's a mid-speed chase.
Mm-hmm.
There's one of the Alan Cox Show parody accounts is Alan's Shirt, which is just a still shot from the live stream of whatever shirt I'm wearing that day. And it has proven to be kind of helpful. It's genius in its simplicity. And then I can look back and make sure that I don't wear a shirt too recently from when because the way that the shirts are in my closet or in my drawer, I just wear the next one.
Right.
So they just rotate through.
You do that.
I just wear whatever one's next. But some days
that's
like...
simpler.
Yeah, some days I go, I'm not really feeling that one. But then I will bring up Alan's shirt and go, okay, well, I don't want to wear it, though, if I've worn it in the last week. So it's proven to be very helpful.
That is helpful. Yeah. You could also just look at the live stream as well.
I could what?
Also just look at the live stream.
Look at the live stream?
Yeah, at the archive.
I know. Well, where would I find that?
AlanCoxShow.com. To youtube.com/TheAlanCoxShow.
Right, but I mean, I can just bring up the Twitter account and I can see all the still shots there.
Just
to
plug it.
thank you. But yeah, it's at Alan's Shirt. So there you go. So I'm able to look and go, okay, just want to make sure that I don't... by the way, if I can appeal to the person who does that, the picture today I like a lot because it's basically me. Usually it's a photo of whatever. Mm-hmm. This is just the shirt. And I would like them to transition into that. If you could focus on the shirt and remove my face from it, I would feel much less self-conscious about it if you were to do that. But again, your account, your rules, mazel tov. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
I was just driving from Cleveland to Columbus to check out a Cleveland band. So,
all right, sir.
On the road. Listen, you guys were talking about candles, and I was wondering if any of you guys have gone to those spots in town where you can make your own. You choose the different scents they have, And you sit there, pour them in, and they...
I think there's one in Ohio City.
I've never been
like
to one of
that.
Those.
Yeah, it's like a... It's a Cleveland candle company or something.
I haven't
something,
had a girlfriend in a while, so that's like a girlfriend
you haven't
date.
Been dragged into. Yeah. Yeah. But they also
have
those...
I haven't had a boyfriend to drag anybody into something like that.
But they have those, like, wine and painting places, too. You've
I did
gone
one of
those.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
No, I've never gone to one of those places, Steve. I have to cop to not being that into candles.
Yeah, I mean,
that I'm that concerned. I can't imagine I'm going to have better ideas than the candle companies.
There's a cannabis one.
Ooh.
Like I said, no one's going to have better ideas than the candle company.
If I smell cannabis in the air and I'm not getting high, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Right? Right. I don't want my apartment to smell like weed unless it has to. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like.
All right, thank you, Steve.
True. Very true. Yeah.
All right, buddy. There's Steve.
I'm going to take a shower. Might take a second. I'm going to wash my legs.
I'm sorry? Implying that you don't usually wash your legs?
No.
You don't wash your legs?
No way. What am I, a sucker?
Well, you take showers and you don't wash your legs.
What am I going to do? Like, bend down and wash my legs? Who has the time?
Have you guys seen this going around Twitter? Do you wash your legs?
I have seen this.
I do wash my legs.
I also wash my legs.
I do, too.
No, I do wash my feet. Some people don't wash their feet because it's in the soapy water and stuff. I've heard that. But I take the loofah over. You start at the top, one arm, over the other side, down each leg, under the foot.
Are you explaining us how your body is put together?
No, some people start at the bottom and work up.
Well, that doesn't make any sense to start at the bottom and work your way up.
Some people don't wash their legs at all, Bill.
I know.
People want gravity to do the bulk of the work for them. So how do you do it again?
Start at the top and work down.
So anyway, after a million people voted in this poll, 20% of them do not wash their legs.
That's wild.
And dermatologists say that's fine. They're like, unless your legs are visibly soiled, which is gross to contemplate.
Visibly soiled. They're on the side stage on Saturday.
Sonic Temple, it's sold out. But if you didn't get tickets, you're going to miss Visibly Soiled.
Wow, sold out.
The runoff from the soap and water from washing your upper body, according to dermatologists, is fine. That said, a little peek into my life. My legs are, I hate to admit it, always visibly soiled.
Ooh,
always visibly soiled.
Even at this moment right now.
Right now, yes, right now.
Put them on the live stream.
Because I'm always putting a Klondike bar in my pockets.
I was like, what are you trudging through?
And then
like,
I forget they're in there, and I go,
4 hours of Reikio.
Man. I'm trudging through four hours.
And he's dragging three people with him, so it gets a little dirty. It's a little messy at times.
There's a lot of dead weight around here. So it gets smushed and squished. And then every day at the end of the show, you'd think I'd know by now. I've been doing this a long time. I go, oh, no. Once again, I've squished my melted Klondike bar in my pants.
Man. Why don't you just eat it?
What would you do for Alan's Klondike bar?
Hold on. Let me write that down.
Eat it or put it in the freezer.
Eat it.
We have a freezer.
/ freezer.
Yep.
That is a really good idea. Because these are... These are frozen confections. Eat it or freezer, parentheses, not in pants. Thank you, Bill.
You are welcome.
Appreciate that. Anyway, if you don't wash your legs, you're not a savage. Let's face it, you are lazy. But also, I think the best forms of laziness are the ones that don't really impede you from doing anything, it doesn't change your life. So, dermatologists, it's cool. Just let it all run down or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever. I think I feel better if I'm washing my legs,
though. Yeah, I like to wash them. I like a little...
Sure.
It's good because it gets the dead skin off, especially if you have like a good loofah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't worry about my legs being smooth, but, I just...
I am.
I don't feel complete unless I wash my legs.
There you go.
I don't feel completely clean.
Taylor Swift washes her legs every day because she shaves them every day.
That's too much.
Imagine shaving your legs every day.
I did that when I was like younger. In college, I would do that. I was cheering and stuff, so I had on shorts and little skirts and stuff a lot. And I was 20 pounds lighter, so I had nice, cute little legs. But I'm not doing that now.
Every day.
Every day.
You don't
every
want to
shower.
Sound like crickets when you're sleeping at night, mm-hmm. rubbing your legs together.
But you did shave your legs the other day, right?
I did.
What'd you use?
I used a Bic Flex 5.
You say you do wash them or you don't?
I do, because when you shave your legs, isn't the shaving cream is like soap, right?
Yeah. It is. That is. I think that's a reason that most women wash their legs, because we have to, because we shave our legs.
Yeah. So that counts.
Oh, for sure.
On the right side of history, though.
Unless you're not shaving, and then you're not washing. So whenever you're not shaving, you don't wash, you're saying?
No, I don't think I would say that.
Well, it seems like you did just say.
But
it.
I kind of always shave my legs.
Every day?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Every day?
Yeah.
God, you must be hairy.
Wonder how often Ellen DeGeneres shaves her legs.
She doesn't seem like a hairy person.
Neither does Taylor Swift, but she's doing it every day. Ellen, by the way, is in the new season of Letterman's Netflix show.
Oh, is he? Or is she?
Yeah. All the episodes, by the way, are... I didn't hear anything about it, and then the thing came out today that they're all dropping on the 31st of this month.
Okay, so they're not going to do it one at
Dole
a time.
Them out, right.
Oh, I like that so much more.
So it's Ellen DeGeneres, it's Kanye... it's Tiffany West.
Kanye Kardashian.
I'm sorry, not you were thinking of Kanye Jones, who was an outfielder for the Seattle Mariners, 82-84. He died in that.
he died.
He did.
He did.
He did. Yes.
He gone.
Oh no.
Kanye Jones died in that urban thresher accident.
Kanye Jones.
Yeah. So it's Kanye. It's Ellen. Tiffany Haddish. Melinda Gates, Bill Gates' wife, some race car driver that I've never heard of before.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
He's...
Junior.
No, his dad's dead.
Junior's
alive.
Junior's alive. Yeah. No, not him. Some guy, because Letterman's way into cars, so obviously that's, I assume, where the interest came from, but I don't know who the guy is.
Ricky Bobby.
Not Ricky Bobby. Nope.
What was Ricky
Bobby's
sidekick?
He interviews the ghost of Dale Earnhardt Sr. The
Cal.
Intimidator.
Mm. What was Cal's last name? Cal Naughton Jr.
Cal Martin Jr.
Captain Naughton.
I hate
Cal
that.
Naughton Jr.
The amount of useless information like that is stored in my brain is ridiculous.
Wow.
Cal Naughton Jr.
I didn't find that movie as funny as everyone else did.
I think it's front loaded. I think the first half hour,
I'll give you
45,
that.
Is so funny, and then there's like an hour after that that's like, okay.
Later, like, who cares?
Well, like, once you soak in the premise, it's kind of a one joke bit.
Yeah.
And then you go, okay.
Yeah.
And there's good scenes, like, there's classic scenes in it, but the movie as a whole is like meh.
Yeah.
But like when they're all talking about what Jesus they like to pray to.
Right.
Oh, amazing.
The baby Jesus.
Yeah. I like the baby Jesus.
I prefer the black Jesus.
Everyone has their preference.
Mm-hmm. So May the 31st, if you're a fan of David Letterman, his show is called My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. He did it last year with George Clooney and Barack Obama and Howard Stern and Tina Fey. Yeah, a lot of heavy hitters. And so this, I don't know how many episodes there are, but he's talking to a handful of people. I thought Tiffany Haddish was an interesting pick for him.
She's on the rise right now.
I also feel like she might be outside his orbit. Like he,
but
he
maybe wants, that's why he wanted.
Maybe.
Wanted something.
I wonder how many of his guest choices are algorithmic, and how many are personal to him.
Yeah, that's a smart one, because that's going to bring in a lot of viewers that probably normally wouldn't watch David Letterman.
Yeah.
Do you know what other star-studded lineup comes out on May 31st? Final Fridays at Battery Park Pub.
Oh, Jesus. I thought Bill brought a shoehorn. Wow. You brought an athlete's foot location with you.
Oh, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah, good job.
Get the tickets on my Instagram, Mary Santor Comedy.
Also, Dr. Ryan Berglund on the show May 31st. I had to reschedule
that's a big
him.
Day.
He was supposed to be in tomorrow, but he had something that he could not reschedule, and so I rescheduled him on the show. He's always nice enough to give of his time and his talent. So all the people that have been emailing me questions in advance, you can do that, and I will hang on to them, but he's rescheduled for the 31st.
I'm actually kind of happy about that, because...
You would have been gone.
I would have been gone, and I don't like to miss Dr. B.
That's right.
I learned a lot last time. I mean, I kind of sat and soaked it all in, and I was like, man, it's a difficult...
Penises are gross.
They're super gross, yeah.
Sure. You were the one doing the soaking last time. He was talking about the pearly penile papules. Boy, as if it hasn't already been a bad enough week for Trump. Now RuPaul is banning him from his new talk show. Is it him or her, Poundcake? RuPaul, him or her? Does he adhere to that?
When he's in drag, it's him. Or when he's in drag, it's her. And when he's out of drag, it's
him. I just like to make sure. Some people like to, I want to keep my pronouns straight.
Yeah, yeah, he's a guy. I mean, he is a guy.
He's got a very strange head.
That's why he looked better in wigs, right?
It's true.
Yeah, he looks better in drag.
I met RuPaul many, many years ago.
I don't know if I should Google RuPaul head. That's probably not a good idea.
You could probably just Google RuPaul.
I know.
He has like a little cone head.
Yeah, it's perfect for drag.
Right, the wigs are way better. Mm-hmm. But anyway, RuPaul is launching a new daytime talk show that's going to be on some Fox stations on June the 10th.
Oh, he does have a weird head.
Racist, yeah. Right?
And
is it not being racist?
No.
Okay, because, I mean...
What?
I don't know, we were talking about Steve Harvey losing a show and you thought that was racist, so now RuPaul's getting a talk show, so I don't know. Like, where does that fall on the...
RuPaul is in right now, and Steve Harvey, he's been... It's just a different dynamic because he is the loudmouth guy that people want to ignore. That's what they wish he would go away.
So
Steve Harvey?
Do you think it's they want him to go away because of his race or because of his loudmouth?
Both.
See, I just think Steve Harvey is so non-threatening to everyone involved.
I think so too.
I don't buy that theory.
I disagree because he's very effective within the black community. He's very effective within the black community.
Effective?
Yes, he's effective.
How so?
I mean, he speaks at numerous colleges. He empowers the black community.
But who's offended by that?
I just think the powers that be don't like the fact that he just states his opinion in a certain way.
That's what keeps you on the air, is stating your opinion.
Yeah, but...
Besides, they already said it had to do... It was literally...
Okay. Yeah.
These decisions are always really boring. It's never anything conspiracy-oriented.
Okay.
It's always really boring. Like, NBC lost distribution rights, so that's why they're replacing him, because he signed with somebody else and said, they were like, screw you, we're taking your show off the air.
Okay.
It's always something like
okay.
that.
Okay.
Because think of all the think of all the people who are on the air who you could define the exact same way, who are doing just fine.
But
I mean, nobody's taken Wendy Williams off the air because her ratings aren't, like, she's not destroying anybody, but I mean, you know, she's got an audience
locked
in.
She doesn't talk about politics. She doesn't talk about...
He doesn't really talk about politics either.
He has.
He has, but lots of people have. I just think it's his show was going down.
Okay.
And so they're like, yeah, we're going to go in a different direction.
Okay, so...
I still think he's going to pop back up doing something where he can be more outspoken, and that's going to have a better response.
That's great, and I hope he produces it himself because he has the money to do so. But
he's worth
on the same page.
He's worth $160 million.
Nice.
He's on his third wife. Third time's a charm.
Third wife, wow.
I mean, supposedly they're getting divorced too, but whatever. He told Kenan Thompson, you better watch yourself over that that impression that he does in SNL.
I love that impression.
I think he was being jokey about it, but still. I love Kenan Thompson. He's like, I have no plans to leave Saturday Night Live. He's been on the show for like 13 years.
I think it's been longer than that.
He's
16.
And he's got his own show coming on NBC, and he's still going to do SNL because he's smart and he knows. I mean,
don't leave until you have to.
Remember when he first joined SNL and people were like, oh, the Good Burger guy.
Yeah.
Because that was all you knew him from.
Yeah, all that. And Kenan and Kel.
I mean, they're rebooting all that with all of the other people besides Kenan because they all need work.
Wow.
Kenan's like, no, I'm good. I'm going to have my own show. And even if that flops.
Oh, he literally said, watch yourself over that impression today.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It was at the upfronts or something.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny. But, yeah, I like Kenan Thompson a lot. Very funny. And he knows what side his bread is buttered.
He does good work, and he can hold sketches together.
What will RuPaul's show consist of? Is it like...
RuPaul?
I understand that. Is it Hot Topics? Is it current events? Is it...
Sports.
I don't think RuPaul shops at Hot Topic. He might.
It'd be funny if they just... they also called it RuPaul's Drag Race, but it was all about drag racing.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. Or he'd be a correspondent for like some type
sure.
of...
Sure. Let's go down to RuPaul in the infield.
Summertime means beers, barbecues, and fishing the occasional drunk friend out of the lake while he searches for his arm.
Hey, buddy, you find it?
This is the Alan Cox Show.
215-592. You want to give me a text? About 7 or 8 minutes from now, another crack at $1,000 for you, about 30 past every hour. And a shot to go fund yourself. Comedian Steve Ranazzisi going to join us in about an hour as well. He is at Hilarities all this week and weekend with Mary Santora on the bill as well. You can go to pickwickandfrolic.com for all the info. You remember him from The League on FX and other things. Tribe game tonight. Short show for us. We'll be out of here around 5:30. Tribe start 6:10 downtown against the Baltimore Orioles. If you listen to this show on iHeartRadio, let me know where you do that. If it's out of state, Wendy is in Warren, Michigan. Another Wendy is down in Key Largo. Dave is in Owensboro, Kentucky. Dan's out in Beaverton, Oregon. Justin's in Bay Ridge. It's Brooklyn. All right. Anywho.
Where were you giving away tickets to before we came back?
I'm doing the same bit as yesterday.
The Berea Rib Cook-Off. It's over Memorial Day week. You're going to be out near Berea coming up, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to be Berea's old Mary.
Wow.
We're going to be at Fat Guys.
Mm-hmm. Not Fat Tony's.
Not Fat Tony's. Fat Tony's is gone.
Yeah.
Fat Guys is where we're going to be on Sunday, May 26th. The show starts at 8 p.m. Doors are at 7. You get tickets at BillSquire.com. And from what I understand, I was talking to the bar, there's a lot of people excited about this show.
Okay.
So if you want to get
attracts.
Yeah. If you want to get in there, you better get your tickets in advance.
Well, that is my son's high school graduation, so I will not be there.
Bring him.
But I'll be there.
Graduations are boring.
Blow off that graduation. Let's go to Fat Guys.
That's right.
There you go. Who are the fat guys in question?
I don't know. You ever been to Berea?
Me and Bill, we're the fat guys.
You guys are the fat guys?
Right.
Yeah, the fat boys are back. I have been to Berea on a number of occasions. Of course, it's Mary's hometown.
I used to live right down the street from where we're going to be.
Now, will you go down the street to your former house and knock on the door?
Dude.
Like in that It trailer and go, I used to live here.
I want to do that so bad because that's the hoarder house that I grew up in, and I want to go in and see. They like redid it, and I want to see what it looks like as a house. I really do.
We should go to both our houses because I lived over there too.
Did you?
My first house was in Berea, like where I grew up in.
Would the people let you in?
Age five?
They could. It's completely up to them.
Would you let someone in if they knocked on your door? Was like, hey, I used to live here. I kind of just want to look around.
I would not. I would say you remember what this house looks like then.
Right.
I mean, you. I probably would because you look pretty unassuming. But somebody came. I mean, my parents still live in the house that I grew up in, mm-hmm. right? So I am always, obviously, I can't identify with it, but I'm always a little fascinated by people who want to go back to the house they grew up in to look around.
I do. I really do.
You have extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, that's
different. Because, like, my house that
like
I grew up in.
You didn't see the floor growing up from
right.
the way you
we had a path. We right. had a path, wow. But it was mostly like, I don't really know what the bedrooms looked like without stuff in them.
So there was that much stuff?
Dude, yes. It was like a real legitimate episode of Hoarders. So you're nobody not, believes me.
Well, no,
I do.
Well, I just thought maybe you were being hyperbolic.
No, not at all.
So like on the show, that's what you grew up
yes.
in.
Yes.
So how does that work?
What do you mean?
When I watch these shows, I'm like, why does no one who lives in this home go just frigging snap
you
and
can't.
Start burning
We've
stuff?
We've done that. My little sister and I would do that. We would take garbage bags full of things
like,
and try to throw them
sleep?
Away.
And
our mom would flip out and take them out and put it all back and scream at us. And it was, I mean, we were young, too. When that was happening, I was like,
you weren't going to go live with relatives
11.
Or something?
I was really young. I was in sixth grade when this started to get really bad. So it was like my dad had just left. My mom snapped and became a hoarder. And it was like, it was bad. It was really bad.
What was her reasoning for keeping it? Like, what was the excuse?
Everything
like, these are sentimental
had something. Everything yeah. was important for some reason. There's no logical reason.
Yeah,
but
it's all abandonment issues.
Everything had some sort of value, whether she was going to give it to a church or to a thrift store, to a children's mission or some whatever
but
it was.
She never did.
Or it was a Barbie without a head, and she'd be like, oh, well, we can fix it
head.
And find,
yeah.
yes, it was
well,
stuff
no,
like that.
Well, no, I mean,
it
that I get. You use that for Santa Maria.
Right.
But
so at what point did she give it all up? Like,
she didn't. She was forced to move out.
That's what I'm saying. So when she moved out, she didn't just make the new place a hoarding paradise?
She had, yeah. She's done that every place she's lived.
Is she still like that now?
Yeah. She has storage units. She probably has 3 or 4 storage units that she keeps stuff
in. I just don't know how people can afford that.
It's very expensive. That's where all of her money goes. That's the thing, is that any money she gets goes into that kind of stuff. I've told her that before, where I'm like, if you got rid of all this stuff, you could have a really nice apartment. Like
a really nice life.
She doesn't want an apartment. She doesn't want that. She wants her stuff. Wow. But like the thing that I would want to do, I would want to go back into that house. There were 2 bedrooms upstairs. And legitimately, you go up the stairs. To the left was one bedroom. To the right was the other one. The other one we called the junk room because it would like go. You would go down a couple steps, and then it was like supposed to be a big open room. I never saw it that way. From like there was maybe 2 or 3 feet between the ceiling and where the stuff started.
Began, yeah.
So like,
what road was this on?
This is on Wesley Drive.
Okay.
And so this was one that I was like, I would like to see what that room looks like as an actual livable room.
That's crazy.
That would be, yeah, I know. And that's why I'm like, I feel like if I told someone that story, they'd let me go into their house. I'm not a crazy person. I want to steal your stuff. I just want to look at what it's supposed to look like. You know?
I would like to see my childhood home.
And I wonder how small it actually is, too. Because it's a tiny looking house from the outside. But, yeah.
So when your mom left that house, she had to get like a truck and put all the crap in it and move it to the new place?
I don't know if she took much of that stuff with her. See, this was a weird time in my past because, as everyone talks about blocking things out, I think that I did because I don't remember a lot of details
right.
about what happened or why she was forced out. I know that the like APL came, or from what I remember was the APL, there's like a bunch of cats, like 30 cats,
and they're like,
this is unlivable. Ooh. You can't live in a place like this.
I can never figure out why like the county doesn't condemn these houses.
Well, that was the other thing. So I do remember. This was the point when we decided to move in with my dad, my younger sister and I. And I was kind of the driving force in that, where I was like, okay, well, we can't live here anymore. I want to go live with dad. And I kind of brought my younger sister with me.
So you were using like a bag of oranges as a pillow? Or
No, we had like a bed. Like there was one like small twin size bed that me and my sister would sleep on upstairs, and not the junk room, the other side. And then
so your bed wasn't thawed out lean cuisines in a stack?
No. I wasn't sleeping on trash. There was a point when all 3 of us were sleeping on a pull-out couch in the living room. That was a couple years, I would say. But yeah, so I don't really know exactly what happened specific-wise with why she left, or if she was forced to leave, or if it was condemned, or if it was a, hey, you just got to get out of here kind of thing, or if they stopped paying the mortgage. I don't know any of that kind of stuff. But I went and lived with my dad, and then she got her own place, and then that slowly became similar, not as bad, but similar. And then anytime she's...
Maybe she tried to pay the mortgage with old Beetle Bailey comic strips.
She might have. These are going to be worth a lot of money someday.
Man, these are not legal tender. I don't know what to tell you.
But
can't do anything about this.
They're worth so much.
Yeah.
It really is weird when you go to like look on Google Maps and like looking up your old childhood home. It feels like you're standing in the street of like your old childhood street.
Right.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is my friend's house. I remember I like scraped my knee there. I was like, that's where I got my first kiss. Like, it's really strange.
Well, but it's also a very specifically American thing, too, because we have too many things in this country. So it's like there's a reason that they don't have Hoarders International on A&E, right? Because it's an American thing. But it's still very strange. I think that show is still on the air.
It's got like all brand new siding, and I'm sure that they like people live there. I would love to go back in there and actually look around what it looks like as a house.
I wonder if the real estate agent has to divulge that it was a hoarder house.
I feel like if they fix everything up, they don't. Like, yeah, if everything was taken care of, that's
unless
not
a human died, I don't think they have to divulge anything.
But that's all surface stuff, too. You know, that people on these TV shows where there's, like, mold, and I mean...
Oh, there is.
That stuff you gotta, like, rip out walls and things for.
Yeah, I'm sure that a majority of that house had to be completely redone.
Wow. They were redoing the home, and there's like little little scrawls on the wall in 11-year-old Mary's handwriting.
Yeah.
Help. Get me out of here.
Doing a tally of the days that I've been there.
Yeah. Like Papillon. You're just in there doing score marks on the wall. Hey, Woody.
Alan.
What's going on, man?
Just got off work, man.
Yeah.
Another long day. Hey, I got a story to tell you about when I first... I rented my lake house for a couple years before it was about three years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting outside my sliding glass door, you know, just sipping on a pop,
And this guy in this vintage, like, James Dean leather jacket walks into my backyard, you know, between the houses, and just walks down to my gate. Bill kind of knows where my gate is, like straight off my slider.
Yeah.
He just walks right past me and stands by the gate.
How do you know about Woody's gate?
I went to his house. After my bar crawl a few months.
All right, go ahead, Woody.
But yeah, so this guy just like strolls through my backyard and stands at the gate and stares out the lake. And I'm sitting, you know, in a lawn chair by my son's back door, and I'm like, excuse me. And he goes, oh, it was hi. And he's like, well, you know, me and my ex-wife used to live here back in the early 80s, you know, and I was just checking it out. He goes, you think I could come in and look around? I'm like, hell no, you can't come in and look around. What's real? He just walks into my backyard and just like oblivious.
Say, get off my property or I'm going to call the police.
Yeah, it was bonkers, man. He was just like, oh, yeah, I used to live here 30 years ago, so you might have like come here and walk around. I'm like, no, get the hell out of my house.
Listen, I understand the inclination to go to the house and go, oh, look, I would never ask to walk around inside. Like, what's it going to do for you? Oh, that's where I used to have my baseball card collection. Cool, get the hell out of my house.
There's a Miranda Lambert song about this.
The house that built
Isn't there a Miranda Lambert song for everything? Really? I mean, all the good things in life have a Miranda Lambert song about them, Woody.
Gunpowder and lead.
Yeah, Miranda Lambert.
Whoa, Black Betty, Miranda Lambert. Oh, Black Betty, Miranda Lambert.
Got to talk about this, Miranda Lambert. Talk about this, Miranda Lambert.
All right. So you kicked his ass off the property, right, Woody?
You know, I was courteous enough, but I'm like, hey, listen, you know, you can't come in my house, and you know, I'd only appreciate just strolling into my backyard.
You should have just
like,
said it.
The freaking joint.
You should have said, yeah, you could go take a look around, but it's going to cost you that vintage jacket.
Yeah. Say, watch out for the booby traps. I've got my house set up like a Saw movie.
Yeah, the jacket was like, it was not even a James Dean. It was like what, those leather jackets like
a motorcycle jacket.
Beach Blanket Bingo, that kind of motorcycle jacket.
Like Tab Hunter?
Yeah.
Wow. All I like what he's saying. The guy strolled onto his property like he was twirling a parasol as he did it. You know?
I wish I could whistle.
I feel like the only exception to the rule about like stopping by people's houses and walking around would be like a college house. Because no one cares if you look in a college house.
Yo, bro, I got accused of rape in that back corner.
You joke, but like, I think that kids that owned our college or that rented our college house before we moved there, they were big time drug dealers. And
yeah, I wasn't really joking. Mm. Hey, thank you, Woody.
Thank you. Guys.
All right. Yeah. Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up, Alan?
How are you?
All right, how you doing? What's up, Bill?
Hey.
Hey, Mary, you dumb bitch.
Hey.
What an albatross around poor Mary's neck.
Yeah, I know,
oh,
right?
Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah, Mary, I grew up in Brook Park.
Oh, yeah?
I'm a little bit older than you.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, but yeah, one time I was trick-or-treating over there because my mother-in-law still lived over there, and I went to my old house, and the guy actually, I told him, like, yeah, I think you bought this off my parents, and he was like, oh, yeah, is it, you know, Rick and my, you know, my last name, and I was like, yeah, he remembered them and everything.
Yeah, they're a piece of crap.
He let us, me and my kids and stuff, walk through and check it out. He let my kid use the bathroom. Got to see my old room. It had all the same decorations because I was, you know, a Dallas Cowboys fan when I was a kid in the 90s, so I had all this Cowboys border up on the walls. The walls were gray and all that. They left all that stuff up. It was actually kind of cool to see.
They left all your Dallas Cowboys stuff up?
You said the border.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, like wallpaper border.
Cool.
Oof.
Yeah, well, like up around the ceiling. You know what I mean?
I remember when
it was kind of cool to see it.
Thank you, Rick. Yeah, all right. The first house when we moved to Bay Village, we rented it. And they were flipping the house. So we went to go see it as they were flipping it. We were going to rent it when they were done. So we were going to be the first people in it. And they were gutting the thing or whatever, and we walked into the master bedroom, and they had put up, like, this is the master bedroom, like, where the adults would sleep. And the lady had some, like, Holly Hobby, like, creepy doll wallpaper border,
and I'm like,
that's got to come down immediately. Like, this is an adult's room.
Right.
People are insane.
People are insane, especially the things they did with wallpaper and carpet in the 70s and 80s
Lord, it's terrible.
Is just the worst.
But a lot of those like colors were the colors of the time, man. The yellows.
I'm not even talking about the
orange,
colors. I'm talking about the
orange.
The patterns, and then the way they would just be like, oh, we have all these wood floors. Let's put some terrible carpet over it.
Right.
Like, just so many wood floors that have just been ruined because they're like, yeah, let's put some carpet down.
Oh, geez.
It's more comfortable.
My parents, we had an orange
and a rug.
We had an orange and yellow kitchen until 15 years ago.
Right.
Oh, growing up, we just all 70s colors and patterns, and my parents are like, man, maybe we should update it. I'm like, you think? It's 2003, man. Do something with it. Get some new countertops.
My parents are they're renovating their kitchen right now.
Yeah.
And so they like blew up the whole thing and just did a complete teardown. And I was there on Tuesday and it's so nice now. It was such a terrible layout before.
Sure.
And it's one of those things where you go, okay, someone built this house and they thought this was a good layout when you could have done something so much better and so much more functional. It's astounding how far just design has come when it, you know, for homes and kitchens and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it used to be more like, oh, the kitchen doesn't need, it can be like tucked away.
Another
but now it's a place.
Open concept. That's where everybody hangs out.
Right.
That's where everybody hangs out. Everyone's always in the kitchen.
Yep.
I love it. That's what I want. Like a big open kitchen with a nice like island in the middle that you can sit and have chairs at, but it looks into like the living room, you know?
I don't like it. I like a closed off kitchen.
Really?
You're in the living room. You don't need to see what I'm doing in here. I'm trying to work some magic in here.
It's nice for entertaining.
Oh, stop. I'm going to entertain you out there, and then I'm going to go back into the kitchen and do
hide.
Some more stuff, and then I'm going to come back out and entertain you.
There you go.
I need a demarcation line. Open concept.
I like it.
I'm not open. Why should my concept
That's
be?
True.
You know what this is? This what? Is, they don't have an open concept kitchen. Gwen wants one, and he's like, no.
Right.
We're not paying for that renovation.
No. It's I have no. My wife has great design ideas. I'm open to whatever she likes. I'm just saying I'm fine with a closed kitchen. You know?
Yeah.
Closed heart, closed kitchen.
That's right. Close me off as much as possible.
Keep it.
I wish these windows were blacked out.
Come on.
We can close the
I want to be in my cocoon.
And I couldn't see my icicle.
The ice. Jesus. (216) 578-1007 You want to join us, or 800-348-1007. 351-92 to send a text. AlanCoxShow.com for all the other stuff. You want to watch the live stream, you can do that there. The chat room is part of that, and you can listen anywhere you are in the iHeartRadio app. Hey, Chet. Oops, sorry. Thought I picked him up. Hey, Chet.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, pal?
Not too much. So I'll let you guys know about my job. I do estate cleanout. My second job, estate cleanouts, renovations, and sales.
Estate cleanout. That's after somebody dies, I assume.
Yes. And sometimes what we do is somebody wants to down, you know, to get rid of everything and downsize. We go in there. We take everything out that's sellable. We clean it. And for the trash, we get dumpsters and everything out.
So are you on, so first of all, this isn't like sunshine cleaning where somebody like blows their brains out and you got to go scrub the walls or something?
No.
All right. So we, it's not that, but so you're, it's essentially like those crews that you'll see on that hoarder show?
Yes.
Okay. How do you determine what is saleable?
Well, the only
sellable.
Company, my buddy, he's into antiques. He looks everything up online. He looks at names that, for example, of old furniture. And if it's good enough condition, if it's wood, we polish it. If it's like a sofa that's in very bad condition, we throw it out.
So you guys are like American pickers.
Yeah.
All right. You go into a hoarder's house. You're trying to find a needle in a haystack. He's like, okay, well, there's 19 dead cats, but there's also a 1955 mobile gas sign that is in pristine condition in the garage.
Exactly. We did a job in Middlefield that we saw a court order that had 36 cats had to be removed from the premise.
Been there.
And those cats, when we got there, those cats were running free all over the house. Needless to say, we had to clean out a litter box.
Yeah.
A giant litter box. Yeah.
Gross.
People use refrigerators, old refrigerators for storage. washer dryers. They use them for storage that they don't want to throw out.
People are gross.
It's pretty weird.
Mm-hmm.
And gross, yeah.
It's amazing. Boy, the lengths of human endurance under those conditions. But, when they want to keep some crap that no one else wants.
Right, right. We also work with realtors. With the furniture that's good, that's sellable, we had to sell the day of the house is open. They're going to have an open house. The day it goes on the market, we use the furniture to stage the house.
Right.
So we have a sale, and the house is being shown. So it's pretty.
If only those people could put that diligence and single-mindedness to something else. You know?
Right. You think.
I don't know, boy.
It's just people have too much property, too much space.
I guess so. All right, thank you, Chet.
All right, thank you.
All right, buddy.
D-Nice.
Do you mean Denise?
Son of a bitch. You say your name right now.
Denise?
Say it right.
Denise.
Correctly.
Denise.
Right.
Denise.
Right.
D-Nice.
That's better. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking of Denise. She's one of our Baltimore bureau chiefs. We have a lot of people. In Maryland, we've got Cameron in Waldorf, Maryland. We've got Doug in Potomac. We've got people all throughout Baltimore. Because next weekend, this weekend, of course, it's Sonic Temple. Bill's going to perform. Gwen and I are going this weekend, right? But next weekend is Maryland Death Fest.
Ooh.
And I'm trying to figure out a way to go.
Who's performing at that?
Oh, my God. You wouldn't believe. It's the 17th annual Maryland Death Fest, Bill.
Okay.
Who's performing?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
First of all, I love the poster.
All right,
because every band logo looks like that, like tree root logo that death metal bands use.
They do.
Every single one of them looks like that. It's like you can't tell. People go, "Who's playing?" You go, "I have no clue." Other than DRI, Voivod, and Deicide, I have no idea who. Vomitory is playing. How does that scratch your itch?
Who? Like you look at the bottom and you can't decipher any of that.
Right. It's
like it's just.
It's bad enough if you're.
And they all look the same.
If you're a band in a festival on a normal festival. Where it's legible script. If you're a baby band, you get that 9-point font. Uh-huh. When you get that with the tree root death metal logo, nobody knows who's playing. Low Life is playing.
Right, but do you even really need to know who's playing? You're going, they all sound
to the untrained ear. To somebody like me, I go in there and I go, maybe I like. Right. Deicide, but I don't like Churchburn, right? Maybe I like Embludgeonment, but I don't like Pestilence. You got to know these things.
I guess so.
Yeah. So it's next weekend. If any of our Baltimore area listeners are going, you got to let me know. 17th year for the Maryland Death Fest. They do one in California in July. They do one in Quebec.
These names are ridiculous.
And they do one in Scandinavia because, of course... Yeah, I mean, Mortuary is going to play, Flesh Crawl.
Ooh, Guttural Secrete.
Yes.
Obliteration.
Anal Nathraki.
Disassociate. Asylum.
I just saw Voivod at the Grog Shop. They were great.
Words.
Yeah, they are words,
squash
Mary.
Squash Bowels.
Huh?
Did we already do that one?
Squash Bowels?
Squash Bowels.
Neckbeard Death Camp.
Neckbeard Death Camp. Oh, my goodness.
Those guys need a big flex font.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Hummingbird of Death is going to play. DRI is one of your headliners. Unleashed, Deicide, Mortician, Dynamite.
Vault Dweller.
Full of Hell is going to play.
Hard Charger.
But that's a normal. There's one just called Indian. There's a band called Indian. Ground is another band. Coffin Dust. Immolation, I like them.
Ridiculous.
Actually. So, anyway. Like I said, to the untrained ear, you're going to listen to this and you're going to go, oh, ha, ha, ha. But some of these bands are going to be great. And other ones, you're going to go,
not for me.
You know, I
feel like I'd mostly be like, not for me.
You walk away going, I liked Abyssal, but they're no squashed.
Dead in a manger.
They're no squashed bowels. They're not total effing destruction.
I like Dead in the Manger's old stuff. Their new stuff is just a little too soft.
Yeah, well, BC. Dead in the Manger BC is kind of like what I'm into.
Bill has...
Instead of AD.
If anybody knows Bill, they know what a Death in the Manger hipster he is, too.
Well, I really am.
G-O-D is going to play. I'm not sure what that stands for. Oh, I get it now. Yeah, so, you know, ample lung infection. All good stuff. I can't believe that they got all these bands in one place, Bill. That's the most amazing thing.
I can.
These these Death Fest organizers, unbelievable. Good for them.
You know, it would be amazing.
My favorite
if this was just one band and they just kept pulling down
curtains.
Yeah,
yeah, curtains with different logos. Different logos.
Same song.
Yeah. Yeah, and they all play. Like they just switch around. They play different instruments and they go, okay.
Oh, got it.
Now we're dead in the manger.
That would be great.
And now we're Sasquatch fart or whatever it was.
Yeah. Gross neck beard.
Uh huh. Sasquatch fart. They were unable to do it. They couldn't get out there and do it. No, what I really like is Low Life, and then in parentheses, Cryptic Slaughter Tribute.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. So they're like, you don't know who we are, and only some of you are familiar with the band that we're covering for 45 minutes.
That's amazing.
Oh, God stands for Grotesque Organ Defilement.
Oh,
ooh. Of course it does. It's a double entendre, if you will.
Dude, I like that. Understand all right. It.
You don't have to.
I don't have to.
Got to. Well, people enjoy it, let them enjoy it.
Yes, that's
let
right.
Yes.
Go to
Maryland Death Fest.
There's going to be a lot of that at the Death Fest. Yes. 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 Slay, queen.
Indo-
slay. Literally slay.
Yes.
Slayer queen.
I stand, slay.
So, and again, a lot of those bands are only playing Maryland Death Fest. They're not going to do the Quebec Death Fest. You know, if you're a Possessed fan, you're not going to see them in Maryland. If you like Power Cup, they're not going to be there.
Power Cup.
Power Cup. You're a big Die Choking fan? Sorry.
Can we hear some of these bands? I need to hear what they actually
sure.
do.
Sure. This is Power Cup.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now give me a little taste of the next band that you mentioned.
Who else is on here?
Neckbeard.
Impaled is okay, there.
I can hear the difference. It's nuanced, but it's there.
That's what I'm saying to the untrained ear.
I'm getting it.
Right?
I'm picking up on it.
Now, if you go to the Scandinavia Death Fest, you got to wait till October, of course. But Dismember is going to be doing two separate sets.
Dismember.
Because, obviously, two pieces.
Dismember. Yeah.
Masgrave is going to play.
You got any of them?
I do.
It's so, a little softer,
there
that
are,
one.
Right.
It was a little bit, yeah.
There are variations there.
I mean, I'm not going to play it with my Woodwick candle, but
right.
That's a little softer.
Right. Oh, now here on the text come all the Putrid Vision fans telling me that I played the wrong song. Go, oh, you haven't played any Putrid Vision. Oh, fine. Sorry. Regular fans
fun.
Of this show are right to ask themselves or to ask me, Alan, why isn't your band Tomb of Feces ever included in these death fests? To which I respond, your guess is as good as mine. I'd like to know that too.
I think we should tell everybody about the controversy.
What's the controversy?
Tomb of Feces was slated to perform.
Oh, I didn't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
But...
Well, it's your story.
We got bumped by Wombath. Is that what you want me to say? You want me to just come right out and say it?
But it's because Wombath said they weren't going to make it, and then they asked you guys to do it. And he said, yeah, we'll do it, but we can't be on the same bill as Wombath because we have an ongoing feud. And then all of a sudden, Wombath's like, oh, we're back in. Tomb of Feces is gone.
Even that was miscommunication. My band, Tomb of Feces, our feud is with the band Wombat.
Ah!
Not Wombat.
Not even Wombat.
No, so we got bumped by a band with whom we are not even feuding.
Wombat is Bunny's favorite metal band.
Wombat or Wombat?
Wombat. Wombat. You'll never know.
So they said, would you guys want to go on after Soils of Fate? And I go, I don't know. I mean, they do that
you're
whole...
You're on after Soils of Fate, but before Fates of Soil.
Yes. Soils of Fate, they do. They end every set with like this weird jazz flute thing. And I go, I don't know if we can really go into that.
Can you follow it?
It's hard to follow.
Well, because it kind of drives everybody away.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so we got to figure it out. And they go, well, we're going to... What they've left me with is somebody's going to bail out. When you have this many bands, somebody's going to bail out. And they told me, they were pretty candid. They said, our money's on cranial engorgement. Bailing out. And I go, okay, but I can't count on that. Right. I said, if I'm going to book myself...
cranial engorgement is a word to go on.
For that weekend, they said, that's the best we can do for you. Maybe we can slip you on before decrepit birth, but before sadistic intent.
I don't like the way they have disrespected Tuma Feces. It's not okay.
Listen, we are regionally known. I'm clear on that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But there's a fan base that's built in with this show. And I said, well, what if I send some friends of mine and they do a Tuma Feces tribute?
Ah.
Because I can't necessarily commit to it. And they said, well, in that case...
Is that called Porta Potty?
We-
Tuma Feces tribute?
Right. They said, in that case...
It's Coffin of Excrement.
Oh, sorry.
We would put you in between Death Toll 80,000... and Martyr God. And I said, well, okay. What would that sound like? So I'm excited. I'm excited.
That'll be a good time.
Yeah. I'm going to send Poundcake in my stead. He doesn't know it yet, but surprise, buddy. You're going to be part of the Tomb of Feces tribute.
He can do his horse impression instead of singing.
True. Sounds the same.
I'm like the Yodel Kid.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get a record deal.
The Yodel Kid. Yeah. I have a feeling a lot of these bands are putting their own records out. I don't know that I'd count on that, but anywho, listen, Possessed, they've been around a long time. They got a new album out, I think, after a long hiatus. After a long hiatus canceled from the Quebec Death Fest. They were replaced by Badass Commander and Impaled. So, you
ooh,
know.
Impaled.
Yeah. Yep. So, anyway, something to think about among all you Gorgasm fans. There's a story out of New York that makes me very upset, and I don't know why.
You upset?
Because I shouldn't care one way or the other.
I was going to say, you show emotion?
This woman, not show, but I can express it, right?
That's showing.
Verbally, I can express it, if not visually or facially.
Okay. as long as we're understood.
Uh-huh.
All you bitches.
Do it.
Rapper Cardi B is hoping to trademark the very specific way she says okay, and we're not kidding.
Do it.
I can't.
Ooh, that's all I need.
Do it. Ew, you guys are creeps.
Do it. We're creeps.
Yeah.
Tell that to the Gorgasm Tour Army, all right?
I didn't realize.
Rapper Cardi B is hoping to trademark the very specific way she says okay, and we're not kidding.
Do it.
I can't.
Try it.
I can't roll my tongue.
No.
I swung a parakeet.
No. Listen to Mark. Listen to Mark do it.
Good. I can't
see,
do it. I can't
effortless.
Roll my tongue. I had it in the newsroom earlier, didn't I?
No, you didn't. You drove everybody out of the newsroom, in fact, yeah. You're practicing.
I had it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get some jazz piano Cardi B?
Oh,
well, let me get to his story.
No, let me go back and find
you. He was expressing emotion, Bill.
I don't care about his emotion.
Bill,
I like jazz piano Cardi B.
It'd cut me off at the knees.
Yeah. I mean, tell your story, whatever. Yeah, you got emotions.
Let me find jazz piano Cardi B.
You should have that one at the ready.
Not on you, Mac Jazz.
Pretty good.
That makes me
there's
so
a little
happy.
Trill at the end, you know. Very effective. No, the story that made me upset was there's this woman and her daughter, and they're having lunch at this pizza place in New York. And the woman asks the waiter why there were more photos of men on the wall than women, and he was just being cheeky and said, women don't like pizza as much. And she got upset
oh, no.
And stiffed him on a tip. Now, whatever.
Now, who was that waiter?
This woman.
Jesus Christ.
This woman, dope that she is, left, I guess in her anger, a cashier's check on the table for $424,000. And the guy made sure that she got it. A cashier's check, as I understand it, is it's guaranteed by the bank.
It's like a money order.
Right.
Yeah, you can just go cash
it. You could go cash it.
Right.
She was putting down a down payment on some condo in her retirement that she was buying. But to get upset at something so stupid and stiff the guy, and then you're so dumb or whatever, that you leave your cashier's check on the table. Like I said, it's all silly. I don't know why it's rubbed me the wrong way.
Would you cash it?
I wouldn't, but this one, like,
no,
why are there more women on the walls? And be like, what do you want to eat? Shut up. Just, I got eight other tables, lady. What do you want?
It's got nothing to do with the waiter.
Hey, that's you forgot thing. Your cashier's check. Genius.
He actually decides. It's actually, there's another story about how this waiter that's worked there for 6 months actually hand-picked every picture that goes on that wall.
Living that's with right. nine other grown men
right.
trying yeah. to be
and
an actor.
And I love how right. they have to tolerate it. They're like, oh, yeah, there are a lot of guys on
you
the
know,
wall.
You know, I never noticed. Yeah, I'll bring it up to management. Yeah,
I'll go ask. Like, meanwhile, he's like, bitch.
It's like when people go.
There was this little exchange with the waiter about no women on the wall.
Well, there's a bunch of women. She goes, not as much as should be. It was like, probably women don't like to eat pizza as much. And then, you know, a sense of humor.
We have Barbara Walters, Christine Quinn. We have the first ladies.
The consensus of opinion was...
Hey, look at these. I said, put in a bunch of men up under the wall. If anybody asks, you take the cashier's check. How do you like it at?
Not to give him a tip. And we wrote on the note, women eat pizza. And by the way, have you heard that women don't leave tips?
No tip.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying. What
I haven't strangler. Heard that about women. Well, not, like, they're specific women.
Yeah. She was so into being funny that she left a cashier's check. Mm-hmm. I would not have cashed that check, but I would have shredded it. I would have torn it up.
If you're going to tear it, oh. No, because aren't cashiers, are they like money orders where you take the money
I think
and
that
then they write the check for you?
I think tearing it up wouldn't work because I think the bank guarantees a
that's
cashier's
what I'm saying.
Check.
Mm. Money's gone anyway.
Grateful that the insult that we gave him did not prevent him from doing the right thing.
She was in tears. She was super excited that somebody actually found it and kept it.
I offered to give him money. He absolutely would not accept it.
Small details like this define us as humans. You know, it's just a small gesture.
Yeah, I offered him money after the fact, and he wouldn't take it. He's like, yeah, he already stiffed me on a tip. I don't know why that story just stuck in my craw.
Because he's making a very silly joke, and again, he does not control the pictures on the wall at this pizza place. He's a server handing you a pie.
Why are there so many men on the wall? Ma'am, is this your first time here? No. Well, then why did you come back? Get out of my face. The daughter, deadly silent, by the way. It's just the mom.
Deadly Silent is playing at the Maryland.
You had to bring up Deadly Silent, didn't you?
I'm sorry.
They bumped us
subject.
Again.
I
sore
realize.
Subject.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about Deadly Silent.
I'm sorry.
They tried to keep the fighting to a minimum, but only because the makeup sex would be awkward.
Wow, I can never unsee that.
This is the Alan Cox Show, 100.7 WMMS.
+35192 if you want to get a text in. About 8 or 9 minutes from now, closer to 4:30, is going to be your next shot to grab $1,000. Chance for you to go fund yourself. If you're watching the show at alancoxshow.com, chat room is there, and you'll see Steve Renizzisi looking right into the camera.
The pink one right there.
The pink one right there.
Very professional.
I always find my light. Yeah. Always find it.
Yeah.
This is what freshly woken up looks like.
That's right.
From a shame nap. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Now, why a shame nap? Well, you're a busy guy. You're away from the wife and the kids.
It's what you do right before you go to sleep that really makes it shameful. Oh, so, you know.
Yeah. That puts you to sleep more.
And that's, that's right. The old tranquilizer.
Did you vote against abortion before you went to sleep? Is that what you did?
I got rid of a ton of babies.
Uh-huh. Steve is at Hilarities tonight, Friday and Saturday, with Mary Santora and Ramon Rivas.
Mm-hmm.
7 o'clock tonight, 7 and 9:30 tomorrow night, 7 and 9:30 on Saturday. It occurred to me that I was trying to remember where I had seen you first.
Okay.
Because you kind of just popped up in my recollection. I was like, well, then he was just kind of there and doing things. And
like a disease.
Maybe.
Yeah, just kind of there. And it's like, well, now we can't get rid of him.
Yeah, I was like, when? And then I mentioned to somebody you were coming in, they said Punk'd.
Yep.
And I go, I completely forgot about Punk'd.
That was early. That was 2003.
Was that one of the first things that...
That was the first thing.
First
time on videotape.
Was Punk'd a thing that... Because Dax was part of Punk'd?
He was the first thing,
It got to the point where you guys got too well-known from the show and you couldn't Punk anybody
anymore. They were airing them, and they realized, they were like, we got something here.
Yeah.
And so they were like, we got to start making more of these right away. It wasn't like they didn't want to do like a season and then wait 6 months and then do another season. They just needed like more content.
In the can, yeah.
Yeah. So we were doing them and they were airing like a week of that. We would do it on Wednesday and they'd air on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah. That kind of quick turnaround. So they would do like they had aired like five or six of them. So Dax wasn't doing them anymore. And they wanted
he was already done when you were in.
Yeah. He had done all of his by the time the show started airing.
Okay.
And so when I got the job, it was like, hey, this is what's going on. We're not even telling you anything. You're just going to show up where we tell you to show up. You're going to Punk who we tell you to Punk. And that's it.
Oh, you weren't like really prepped on what was going on.
I mean, not really. No, the first
parachute
one I ever,
in.
Yeah, the first one I ever did was Tracy Morgan. They were like, this is the time we're picking you up. And when I got there, they're like, you're Punk and Tracy Morgan. You're going to be a tow truck driver. This is the situation we got. We're in here.
Yeah.
And so that's it. Go for it. And I was, and thank God it was my first job because I was like, oh, I don't really, I didn't pay attention to the consequences of messing this up.
Sure.
You know, the hundreds of thousands of dollars that they spend on all these things.
Right.
So I was just like, all right, let's just have fun with it. And I just, nose in, and that was it. And so I never really got nervous.
It was like guerrilla filmmaking. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't really get nervous because, I mean, I did sometimes, but.
Because the one that a lot of people remember,
they didn't know.
One that a lot of people remember is Justin Timberlake crying or whatever.
That was that was amazing.
I don't remember the Tracy Morgan one. I remember the premise of that.
Tracy had just gotten a new car, a Jaguar.
Yeah,
and he valeted it. BJ Novak played the valet,
right?
And so he takes the car, and then Tracy's in the restaurant, and then we got the same car, the same Jaguar, but not his, up on a tow truck, smashed in the windows. And they told him, hey, your car's getting towed. He comes back out and loses his mind that his car's being towed. He goes, I just valeted it. And I'm like, yeah, well, they must have parked in a no parking zone. I got to take this thing to Barstow.
Right.
Which is like 2.5 hours.
That's so far. That's like in Vegas.
Yeah, if you're in Cleveland and you're like, oh, I got to take this to
this
Columbus.
This is a Friday at probably noon or 2 o'clock. So you're not seeing your car for the entire weekend.
Right.
And so he lost it, and then in that Tracy Morgan way that only Tracy Morgan could do. And Ashton comes out at the end and everyone goes crazy. So you're like, wow, this is amazing to be a part of this.
Well, and it also, it is the but kind of show.
Like, then they're like, hey, you got to shave your head because we've already aired four of them.
Right.
now you got to dye your shaved head black. Because now that people see, like, I did three with the shaved head. Yeah. So now I look like Eddie Munster at the end. And they're like, all right, that's a wrap on Steve, everyone. That's it for Steve. And I'm like, now I'm sent off into the world with the grossest haircut a human being can have.
To audition looking like Butch Patrick.
It was terrible.
Yeah. So they would kind of, was it a show that you went out for? Or was it just people who knew people that were like, this guy would be great for this?
I was hosting the open mic at the Comedy Store in L.A.
Okay.
And so casting director came in and saw me talking to the crowd, doing some crowd work. And I think that's sort of how it started for me. And
were you acting?
I had audition like a couple times. But the audition was like improvising with other people.
Right.
It wasn't like doing a Shakespearean monologue.
But when Shakespeare in the Park. But when you were coming up, were you acting and doing stand-up concurrently, or did one lead to the other?
No, I've been doing acting in college and stuff and stand-up for about 2.5 years to that point, mostly in L.A. at the Comedy Store. So, yeah, they were kind of just, I was like doing both.
Because I always feel like
auditioning for commercials.
I feel like there's a different level with comics who are also actors or vice versa. Because if you're just doing straight stand-up, you know, people know you from that. But I always feel like it's like actors who are also musicians.
Yeah.
It's like this, there's...
That's gross to me.
But it feels like this thing where they have to convince people that they're one thing or the other. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, if somebody's creative, it stands to reason they might do more than one thing.
Yeah.
But it always feels weirder when people... Jared Leto's a great example. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like,
handsome. He's a musician. He's a great actor. He carries around his own head.
Right. He can wear a dress.
You didn't get invited to the Met Gala, did you?
That, I was the head.
Oh, beautiful.
The whole head?
That was great acting.
Thank you.
I did not even know it was you.
To shrink myself down like that?
Yeah.
By the way, you know somebody, some girl stole that head, and she was like, I'm making out with this head tonight. You know some girl did. That's how handsome that guy is.
To make out with Jared Leto's disembodied head.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Did you? I mean, I stared at that head more than I looked at his face. First of all, he's one of the most handsome people in the world.
Very handsome.
The head, you go, you just look at the head, you go, oh, this head is gorgeous.
Right.
This headless body is gorgeous.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It wasn't like he was carrying around a head that people were like, oh, if only you look like that.
No.
Boy, they really did you some favors. They were like, no, they basically just took a mold of his face.
Yeah.
And then, made it.
If he just rolled that out into the middle of the Met Gala, girls would have jumped on top of one another for him.
Punched each other in the face.
Like a bouquet. Girls, and I know girls are so, they're infinitely more civilized than men are, I know, but...
Allegedly.
Some of them are filthy enough.
Oh, big time.
That would have done some horrible stuff to
especially
that
especially with a couple martinis in them. Oh, yeah. Is that Jared Leto? I'm going to take that head in my house. That would be exactly just piling on top of each other.
Yeah, he's walking around with it, but it did end up somewhere. So it's
Cardi B shoved it under that dress of hers.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like when actors go, I've got my Emmy on my toilet. And everybody goes, oh, ha, ha, ha. You know, somebody's got that head. So it's probably at his house on the fridge or something.
Absolutely.
It's,
Yeah.
Where it probably should be.
Yeah,
I don't understand that Met Gala thing. I don't understand how famous you. Because all I read was that Khloe Kardashian was determined to be not famous enough to go to that. So I'm kind of like, so I don't even understand what the demarcation line is for that thing.
No,
yeah, like I don't know. I know. Nick Kroll went. He did go.
Yep,
he went.
But not everybody gets dressed up, right?
No. I think I'm like, what are you wearing? Is that?
Yeah, he was carrying it. He was carrying Jared Leto's head around.
Can you wear the Bjork costume?
The swan.
He goes, yeah. I was going to wear a tuxedo. Yeah, right. Where you got to go.
So some people walk and get goofy dressed up, and then other people just attend.
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah.
The normal, like the people that are like, look, I don't know how to interpret this theme. I mean, maybe like a different color jacket. That's how, as far as I would go.
Right.
Got some fun couplings.
Right. Yeah. But Saquon Barkley wore shorts and a suit, it was a tuxedo, but like shorts were the...
LeBron did that.
Odell Beckham Jr. wore like the dress.
Kilt.
He wore a kilt, yeah.
By the way, how are you guys enjoying him so far?
Oh, we love him.
I heard
he's the best player that's ever existed.
So
ever,
far, he's allowed to check in with the team when he feels like it.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. You're a Giants fan, I assume.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So
are you guys happy to see him go?
Oh, no. I lit everything on fire.
Okay.
But then... Now when I'm driving around here and I'm hearing stuff he's allowed to check in when he wants to check in, I go, oh, you know what?
These are voluntary OTAs. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Now you get it.
Yeah, right. Wait a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
He might be somebody else's headache.
Listen,
now.
Prima Nocta for OBJ was a good choice, I think.
No matter how hot the girl,
yeah,
someone is finished having sex with her.
That's right.
Yeah. Someone's over.
Well, that's why I asked, because I wondered, on the one hand, player-wise, you go, oh, no. But pain in the ass-wise, it felt like a lot of fans were like, it's Cleveland's problem now. There are plenty of good players out there, whatever. That's why I asked.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be days
Super
where
Bowl
I'm like,
time,
oh,
just let me know. Let me know what's going on.
When he's catching, you know, two touchdowns a game in the end zone with his bare hand, I'll miss him then.
Right.
But when you just hear stuff like, it's already a headache. I'm like, oh, this is like, and you're like, oh, Odell, and you're like, wait, I'm visiting. This is not my problem anymore.
You're a tourist.
Yeah, I'm a divorced dad. Look at me. I'll come visit on the weekend, and then that's it.
Cool dad.
I'm out of here.
Steve Ranazzisi, of course, actor, comedian, Jersey Shore doppelganger. There's a lot of boxes he can check.
Which guy?
I remember it was the beginning of the year because I did it too. Where it was that Who Do You Look Like app? What was the app where you did that?
Oh, yeah.
You matched with Ronnie from Jersey Shore.
Yes.
I guess.
It was one of the highlight lowlights of my life.
One of the best
I've never felt so good and so terrible about myself at the same time.
Same with me. I don't usually do that kind of stuff, but I did it because I think I was drunk and it was Saturday or something. I was like, I'll do this. But I matched with...
Julian Assange.
Nick Frost. Oh, and then Squire goes, what?
Yeah. I'm like, well, I didn't get that.
Yeah. I got Nick Frost.
I should have got Nick Frost.
If it was a situation, I would be way worse off.
Julian Assange.
I bet you could get Julian Assange.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Someone who's like, yeah, I might have some similarities to that person, but what are you thinking, man?
Those things also get me a little bit conspiratorial, too, where I'm like, these viral things that go around like that, I'm like, it's just somebody's... Facebook is testing like their facial recognition technology or something.
It's the government.
Yeah, the government.
Is it a yellow? Is it a, what was the other one with the address? With the was it
yellow or blue?
Yellow or blue, or is it what was the other thing?
Gold.
Is it, no, that thing.
Laurel like, or Yanny.
Laurel or Yanny.
Oh my god! Yeah. We did that on air.
Laurel or Yanny.
Yeah, there was the and green
everyone's
needle.
Everyone's speaking into a mic, Laurel, and now the government's like, check, 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 check.
The government.
Check.
That's all of our voices.
We're good. All of our voices.
I posted today on AlanCoxShow.com, they used AI to recreate, not like, they recreated Joe Rogan's voice and then make him say things. And it sounds like a real conversation.
Who did that?
It's some company. They just posted it on YouTube. It's so creepy.
Robot. Is this something I can play? Yes, are there expletives in it? Or,
no, you can play it.
Robot Joe Rogan?
Yeah. So you can just, you type in what you want, and Joe Rogan will be like, I'll tell you what. And he just has a voice?
It's. I mean, this is just a YouTube video. They have that program. It's not like a website yet, but yeah, basically. They make him say these things.
Wow.
Friends, I've got something new to tell all of you. I've decided to sponsor a hockey team made up entirely of chimps. I'm tired of people telling me that chimps are not capable of kicking human ass in sports. Chimps are just superior athletes.
So this is all AI generated.
Yeah, that's all AI generated. Like,
that's not them cutting up clips from his podcast putting it together.
That's them recreating his voice and then using
terrifying. Does Joe know about this yet? Because he's going to go bonkers when he does.
I'm sure he'll find out, and it's real creepy. It's real creepy
now,
because they can make you say you can hear that it is a little bit robotic.
Why did they pick Joe Rogan?
I think
that's
because,
the wrong person to try stuff out on.
Yeah, but he just has such a presence on like the internet and YouTube and stuff that I think it's gonna get them the attention that they want.
I know, but it does sound like when you know someone cuts up an audiobook or whatever and they make like it has elements of
it
doesn't have that flow.
Inflections
to it.
You
know what I'm thinking? I think I'm going to make a hockey team full of chimps.
I was just thinking
that way.
Yeah.
He has that kind of like
there's a
the uncanny valley kind of thing.
That too, on. But with this, just go with me here. There are two sides to every coin, right? And so while we're marveling at this AI here, there is also a phenomenal idea about a hockey team made of chimps.
Right.
That if somebody can put that together, we will have stumbled into that just because they were screwing around with Joe Rogan's voice.
Yep.
Real world implications.
Chimps, if you could teach a chimp to check, forget it, man.
Yeah. And to 10 goal. Because you got to get that one that just got to stand still.
Well, yeah, but you need a orangutan then to get to be the goal.
You need like every which way but loose.
A big fat body to keep right in front. Just get that, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You get run kettlebells,
battle ropes, everything. I've got them on a strict diet of bone broth and elk meat. These chimps will rip your balls off. God damn, it's impressive.
Wow.
Look, I mean, you can hear that it is a little bit robot-y, but it's...
I'm like, those chimps will rip your balls off.
Yeah.
You guys are still listening to the voice. I'm like, you know, chimps could get mean. They could turn you. Who's going to GM these chimps? Who's going to coach these chimps?
What are they going to set their practices?
Yeah, who's going to coach the chimps?
Who's going to coach? You can't have a human coach.
Emilio Estevez.
They could do that.
He could.
Yeah.
If anyone could do it,
what's Dunstan up to these days? From Dunstan checks in.
What about BJ and the Bear? That guy.
BJ and the Bear.
He rode in a truck with a chimp the entire time around America.
Yep.
If anyone's fit to coach a hockey team full of chimps,
it's BJ McKay.
It's BJ from BJ and the Bear.
Clint Eastwood from Any Which Way But Loose.
Yeah.
He had the orangutan.
He had the orangutan.
Clyde the orangutan.
And that lady
I think old
him.
Clint Eastwood's not going to, he's not going to cotton to that.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think it's his thing.
You chimps better get in line.
You filthy chimps.
What's his face would be a great
Charlton
one.
Charlton
Heston. Yeah.
You damn
dirty apes.
Dirty
apes. Slash
damn
chimps.
Dirty chimps.
Get back on defense.
You skate your butts off.
Steve, you do a sports podcast, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do.
And is that the love of your life right now?
Or? It is. I love it. I do it live every Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific on the All Things Comedy Facebook page. But also, we talk about pop culture stuff. So we do like a Game of Thrones, Deadpool, and we take calls and stuff like that. So,
are you freaking out over Game of Thrones this season?
I started watching last year, so no, I don't freak out about anything.
I'm very loosey-goosey. He's like, I'm one season
people
in.
Are like, you're ruining my baby. I'm like, dude, I'm loving all of this.
people are losing it, and we're just like, come on.
And to ruin it while people feel that it's already been ruined, it makes it even better.
There's a petition somebody started to get them to rewrite the whole season.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? So we can add more nudity? That's why I came here.
Hey.
Don't tell me there's nudity, and then I show up, and there's...
tying up loose ends here.
Everyone keeps saying, oh, there was one scene where the girls, with three girls and one... Yeah, that ugly dude and three girls for 5 seconds naked, that's what I get?
That's
for
wrong.
Watching this show for 14 hours?
So did you come in too late for the boobs?
Yes.
Did they phase out the nudity?
It's just... There's,
I came in during the Me Too movement.
There's stronger plot points that need to be finished in the last season. There was only 6 episodes.
Oh,
yeah, I've got some
plot points that need tied up as well.
I understand. Mm. There was a lot more just willy-nilly
Why
boobs.
Can't they tie up those plot points with fewer clothes? Mm.
Yes.
It's
so I can fall asleep
serious.
And take my shame naps.
Shame naps.
Shame naps. It's more serious.
No, please.
Yeah, I don't think
the Dragon Show is more serious.
Yeah.
There's a reason that they didn't start the series like that, because nobody would have watched it. They're like boobs and dragons. I'm in.
It's very front-loaded.
Uh-huh.
The boobs.
So to speak.
I'm fine with it.
All right, good. What's the name of the podcast?
What's the Odds?
What's the Odds?
Grammatically incorrect.
But still, yeah. What is the odds?
What is the odds?
Yeah. Plural.
Yeah.
You dummy. You know, when you make a sign and a poster and everything, you're like, wait a minute, something's wrong here. Forget it. Here we go, everyone.
Here we go. The branding's already set.
Already hit send. It's there.
(216) 578-1007 if you want to join us, or 800-348-1007. 35192, you want to text me. Tribe game tonight, early one, 6:10, set for the first of three, I think, against the Orioles. Except it's got to be two. I thought it was three or four, but whatever. They're playing somebody different on Saturday. It doesn't matter, right? 5:30 tonight is when the pregame will start, so we'll be out of here by then. I was just reading up on it, and again, this is just one of these things that I find interesting, even though if it's not relevant to a lot of people. Case Western did this huge, wide-ranging study with university hospitals where they looked at the data from 62 million patients in the United States, and they said that people who have had their appendix removed are 3 times more likely to get Parkinson's disease.
Whoa.
So you're sitting there going, I had my appendix out when I was 12, bro. Thanks. Now you tell me.
I thought it didn't do anything.
It doesn't. It's a vestigial appendage, but they're also saying that there are certain proteins involved between your brain and your gut. It's all beyond my comprehension, but still, like, I have my appendix.
Me too.
But a lot of people...
Me too. My cousin doesn't. He got his removed.
Yeah, my son, he went in, like, he had these gut problems a few years ago, and they were like, if you had gotten to us any later, my ex-wife took him to the hospital. Yeah.
I feel like they say that every single time.
No, they might. I don't know.
They never said... We caught this really early.
Like, oh, you could have waited 2-3 more weeks.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah, but it only becomes a problem when it starts to hurt, which
right,
is
exactly.
When it's bad.
Exactly,
yeah.
Which is why they always say that, which is like it just
I can't when it was an emergency.
Where is it even at?
It's in your butt.
It's the lower
it's in your butt.
I thought it was the lower right quadrant of your it's like under your stomach
you're
or something.
Yeah,
something
the
like
uterus.
That, my cousin's scar is like right above like
it's
his
under
pelvis.
The belly button?
It's like next to
it's
it.
It's attached to the large intestine on the lower right side of the belly.
And where is that?
That's your whole belly. The large intestine goes through all
maybe
of it.
Maybe your belly.
Everybody's belly.
Now, a lot of books.
Never read one.
I'm going to stop myself because it's become abundantly clear.
That I'm a dumb bitch.
Or I'm going with that? No, I'm the dumb bitch. I'm just going to stop myself right there.
No. You finish
Say
your
it.
Thought.
Finish it.
A lot of books that I have, Bill, have an appendix in them.
Oh.
You what?
That's a shame.
Oh, it is, isn't it? It was, I opted to stop myself.
You know what? But it had to be said. It had to be said.
It did not. No, it did not.
It's out there.
Multiple appendices in the book.
Dad, your jokes. Fart your farts and dad your jokes.
Yeah. Well, I am a dad.
Yeah.
Hey.
And by the way, I take great umbrage with this holier-than-thou approach to
dad joke.
Oh, come on. Oh, dad joke. Hey.
You make them.
You show me something funnier than a dad joke.
Show some
R-E-S. And I'll eat your shoe.
I-P. How did he say it?
You tell me.
I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
I can't spell it wrong.
Yeah, you can. You just did. You tell me.
But I didn't finish it.
Finish it.
R-E-S-P-I-E-C-T.
E-C-T.
Is that what he
show
said?
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Respect.
And if Alan has to eat the shoe, I'll eat the other one, and we'll be soulmates. Hey, you said dad jokes. Oh, why do you, what do you, what?
Nothing.
What, Mary?
Nothing.
You want another play out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doy. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine with me.
Oh, what? Because I call.
I got senioritis today, so I'm fine with that.
Just because I call fake noodles.
Appendicitis.
Just because I call fake noodles impastas.
Noodles.
I'm a bad guy. Fake is that what you're noodles. Trying to tell me?
Do you know one of my favorite dad jokes?
Yeah.
Feet nardles. What?
What kind of pants does Mario wear? Denim, denim, denim.
Denim, 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 yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah.
Denim, denim, denim.
I mean, just because I took my daughter to the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo, mm-hmm. right? And there were the tigers, there were the giraffes, and then there was a baguette in one of these cages.
Oh, yeah?
And it just surprised me. And so I called somebody over, and I said, what is this? Did one of the animals leave their food? And they said, no, that was bred in captivity. You trying to tell me? Don't you get on your I hate dad jokes high horse.
It's a great joke.
Come on.
I didn't know where it was going, to be honest with you. I was trying to connect the dots in my head, and I couldn't.
I had a little...
I don't want to do
I had some. I was at my dentist this morning, okay. And he was telling me, you know, he had to do some work, and he was telling me about this big convention that they were going to, and he was really excited. It's a chance for him and his peers to get out to Nevada. And, you know,
cavity
just,
search.
Huh?
Cavity search.
No, no, no. They all get together in Las Vegas.
Oh.
All right.
McElvaineDentistry.com.
Will they be going to Las Vegas, Bill?
Of course. Everyone uh-huh. should go to Las Vegas.
That's right.
And they also do Botox.
Interesting.
They do?
Wait, yeah. A dentist?
A dentist that does Botox?
In your face or your gums?
In your face.
I believe that's just called the Novocaine shot. Botox in your gums is just called Novocaine.
Who needs bigger gums?
It doesn't make your lips bigger.
That's a plumper.
Yeah, that's a plumper.
Botox is stops the wrinkles because it kills the muscle there or whatever, you know?
I don't want that.
Well, it freezes them, right? Botulinum toxin.
And then what?
Well, now you look like unfrozen caveman lawyer. You don't need that.
No. Unfrozen caveman.
Lawyer. Remember that one?
Oh, I do.
All right.
Mary makes dad jokes too.
Not right
of course,
now.
Of course.
Sometimes, but you guys don't ever like them. Whenever I make a dad joke, it gets really, really quiet, and then we move on.
You told us about the melon wedding you went to.
What?
The melon wedding that you went to.
I didn't go to a melon wedding.
They had to. You went to one in a church. You said they can't elope. I distinctly recall you telling me that. I'm almost positive that that was you. Listen. Anybody paying attention to the Vita Coco Twitter feed? You watching this thing? You know what Vita Coco is? It's coconut water, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unpopular take from AC here. Coconut water sucks.
Oh, it's gross.
I know it's supposed to be real good for you. Some people genuinely love it. I can't stand it.
It is a beverage that I will have if I'm extremely hungover and I need electrolytes.
Does it help?
It's supposed to. It's supposed to help hydrate.
Some MMA fighter went off on Twitter about how much coconut water stunk, and Vita Coco, which is this brand that, you know, if you drink that stuff, it's one of the more prominent brands out there. The Vita Coco account, this guy said, I would rather drink my pee than coconut water. And the Vita Coco account showed their social media manager holding a jar of pee and said, what's your address? And so obviously it was like a little bit of a...
Yeah, they're trying to be cheeky.
A little bit of a prank or whatever. But as someone who has consumed his own pee, I would rather drink that than coconut water, too. See, so I don't know who this fighter is.
Coconut water wasn't bad. We were in Jamaica. We drank it right out of the coconut. It was really good.
Save that one girl's life.
I didn't care for it either. What's that?
Oh, save that one girl's life that was all hungover.
Yeah. Was she hungover or she was just car sick?
No, she was hungover.
Oh, the one that was in when the dude was trying to buy the dirt
weed? She was hella annoying, dude.
Oh, they were all annoying.
Like, I don't understand. Side rank. Continue. I'm sorry.
Coconut water, I feel like, was a consistency thing for me. I didn't like it was just thick enough to be uncomfortable to drink. Out of the coconut. I've never had this Vita Coco.
Just the flavor. It just, to me, tastes like...
gross.
Vaguely watered down something else.
It tasted like milk to me. It wasn't bad.
I didn't like it at all. Like, it was very much so a texture thing. When I had it in my mouth, I was like, I don't want this.
It's really funny because I don't like coconut anything else, but coconut water, I enjoy.
Oh, I love
because it doesn't taste like coconut shaving.
I love coconut.
I don't like coconut.
Don't like coconut itself. Water. So the Vita Coco brand director, once she started getting some media inquiries, confirmed that it was, in fact, her pee.
Hey.
This is what brands have to do now.
Going above and beyond. I'm for it. I like it.
They have to get people's attention by going, hey, I'm going to mail you my pee. How you like that? What's your address?
But also, you can't mail liquids, can you?
Mm-mm.
Maybe you can.
If you lie to them,
if you do,
is there anything liquid, perishable?
Right.
You go, nope.
You gotta disclose it, right?
Nope.
You know what happens if you mail pee and you get caught? You're in trouble.
Very good.
And that was organic.
Uh-huh.
You didn't have to shoehorn that one in.
Nope. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome for the lead-in.
Hey.
One might be a little...
Do it.
My alarm went off this morning instead of my... Instead of my normal alarm, it just kept saying, don't call me Shirley. Because I had left my phone in airplane mode, Bill.
Oh, wow.
Anywho.
You get no love.
What's that?
I said you get no love for that.
Indeed. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that one. I didn't like that one.
Yeah. There's a woman on trial for beating her husband to death with one of his guitars.
Mm.
And
what kind of guitar?
Well, the judge asked if she was a first offender. She said no, first a Gibson, then a
Damn it, man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
8 minutes.
I know, 8 minutes. No, but listen, something else, and we've talked about this before, something else I was reading that said that most people who are adults, they have not made a new friend in 5 years. And so then I'm starting to think, I'm like, when was the last friend I made?
Me! We've become friends in the last 5 years.
I feel like I've been in
Cleveland. How do you guys do things together?
No. I mean, I've been in Cleveland almost 10 years. I think we've known each other longer than Mm-mm. 5 years. Really?
I did the comedy tour for the first time in 2015.
But I knew you. But I knew you before that.
But were you friends?
Maybe.
I mean, we're acquaintances. Yeah. I mean, that's the bar I'm setting for myself. Better friends with Gwen. Right.
We play cards.
We're all
and
better
stuff.
Friends with Gwen.
Right.
It's true. Everyone I know is better friends with, as they should be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not very interesting. She's very charming and mm-hmm. lovely. But yeah, most people haven't made a new friend in 5 years.
5 years. I didn't feel
like Because when you're an adult, it's hard and weird to make new friends.
I feel like it's different in comedy. I feel like I'm always meeting new people and like even if I only get to see them a couple times a year, we'll like text and stuff.
Yeah, but that's your competition.
No, but you can't look at it that way because then you're not going to have any kind of fun.
You don't have to look at it that way, but it's true.
But you're also way more social and also...
the fact that you're a cute girl changes the dynamic.
People don't want to talk to you. Other comics don't talk to you after shows. I feel like it doesn't help sometimes when,
well,
like...
Well, I'm also, like, so much... Like, I'm so far... Like, I'm 15 years in. I don't need any more friends.
Yeah,
like, I don't mind being friendly. But if I'm not, like, actually hitting it off with someone... Like, when I go to town, I don't need to be it. Like, hey, let's meet up and hang out.
Right.
And be like, hey, I'm in town. I'll go do stuff by myself. I'm good.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
But it's just, you know, it's certainly not beyond the realm of possibility for me to make a new friend. But I'm kind of like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what am I going to
like,
do?
Like, what do you, yeah. What, do you
what
need
am
to
I
going to
do?
Yeah.
Although, I say that because maintaining a friendship seems like it takes, it's never taken less effort than today to maintain one. So if I had to do that little, you go, yeah, okay.
I like a photo on Insta for you.
Right. Tag someone in like a BFF.
Like a photo on Insta.
I'll send you some money via Facebook.
Money.
Do friends do that? Yeah, you can do that now. You can like...
I still use Venmo.
But I wonder, do people actually use that? Like when it says like, oh, it's this so-and-so's birthday. Give to a charity. I'm not giving to your charity.
I've done the charity thing before.
I don't trust that. I don't go through Facebook, and that's not the place I would go to give to a charity. I would look it up and go to the actual website before I would send it through Facebook. I just, something sketchy about that.
Yeah, but then you have to hope that the website's legit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anything you're doing online, you're sending ones and zeros to somebody and hoping it gets
like,
there.
It's already bad enough that Facebook has your address, your phone number, like the mutual friends, pretty much knows your entire life. You want them to have your card information and stuff,
what
too?
What I like to do is I leave a blank check in an envelope at Planned Parenthood. I say, fill it out.
That's perfect.
That's how I do it.
That's what you should do.
Well, it's funny, on that subject, Pancake, you were talking about, do you want people to have that information? We were talking about, you know, Joe Rogan before and facial recognition, voice recognition and all that. And somebody texted me, they were like, yeah, somebody tweeted, if you use facial recognition on your personal devices, then the government has your face. And somebody commented, wait till they find out about driver's licenses.
I was just going to say, like, they've been had our faces.
Or the million selfies people have taken and posted voluntarily.
Yeah, they know you're not that hard to get.
They know your genitals, too, like... They know everything.
No, they don't know my genitals. They might know yours.
They took a picture on your phone. It's out there. It's
I
on
took
the cloud.
One 10 years ago they and know. Sent it to my wife in the living room.
Doesn't matter. They know.
And then she probably laughed and then deleted it.
It doesn't matter. It's in the cloud. Verizon looking at you like,
in the cloud. Alan, start selling weed. You'll make a ton of friends. No, I won't make a ton of friends. I'll make a ton of customers because I will have the best weed.
You wouldn't even make any customers anymore. Like, your weed is readily available. You can get it from anybody.
Right, those are people who sell weed.
But I'm just saying, my pot dealer is not my friend.
Well, that's what I said. I'll make a bunch of customers, not friends. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how we doing?
What's going on?
I got a dad joke for you, but I wanted to apologize to Sir Cody there for having him on speaker. My apologies.
Okay.
All right. Forgiven.
Okay. So I was also at a zoo the other day. Had nothing but dog breeds there. Quite disappointed. It was a real shih tzu.
I mean, I don't know what to do with that.
He saw a shih tzu at the zoo.
And there was a shih tzu at the zoo.
A real shih tzu.
All right. I mean, you know, I don't know what to do with that.
Because you know it's not a Maltese. Don't they look the same?
They do. Lhasa Apso, maybe?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You don't know. Did you read the plaque?
I shouldn't have opened the floodgates. The plaque. I shouldn't have opened the floodgates.
Are you getting a bunch of texts? Is that why you said that?
Mercifully, no.
Oh, wow.
Nope. Alan, my dealer is one of my closest and longest friends.
Were they your friend before they became your dealer?
I was going to say, that means that you have been smoking pot for a long time.
I was going to say, and a real friend.
Or you make friends really quickly.
I make friends
pretty
quickly.
Or a real friend wouldn't charge you.
Well, that's not true. It's still a business. They're running a business.
But
trade it for goods and or services.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'll give you a ride home.
Gas, grass, or ass.
Exactly. I'll give you a ride home.
But that's still a transaction.
If my friend was like, hey, I need to charge you for this. I'm like, okay, well, then I need to charge you for sitting on my couch. I need to charge you for eating my pizza. I need to charge you.
There's an app for that.
Take a nap
right there and charge them for it.
My Netflix account. Better not start charging me. I go to hell and back for my friends.
How many of those things do you actually pay for?
Probably Probably the pizza.
Yeah, definitely the pizza.
Definitely his pizza, pizza stipend.
I'll give him
comes
the pizza.
Through. Yeah. You go to hell and back for your friends, mm-hmm. is that what you said?
I would.
Really?
I would.
You just wouldn't pay them for weed.
I would do anything for love, but I wouldn't do that.
All right. Yep. See what he did?
And nailed the melody on it.
I would do anything.
I was shortening it.
But I won't do
that.
All right, listen. I'm just looking. Alan, could that woman who murdered her husband with a guitar be called an axe murderer?
Sure.
What about could be.
A slayer?
What's brown and sticky?
What?
A stick. vegetarian zombies. What do they eat?
What?
Grains! I mean, okay. Alan, okay. You know, okay. Yeah, it's fine. How do you find Will Smith in the snow? Look for the Fresh Prince.
And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find four of those children incredibly arousing. Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink. Unless you can double think, you'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.